good afternoon. Welcome. It is the Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantes. I am neither Ro nor Anna. No, I am me, Brian Noonan, in for the vacationing Ro and Anna. They will be back on Tuesday, so I get to be with you for the next couple days. And by you, of course, I mean you. But then, oh, it's so nice. Rarely on a Ro and Anna holiday do I get to see Judy, Violetta, and Kevin all together. Usually it's part and parcel of the RoCon experience. But today I get everybody. I get Jeff and Brian. Everybody's here. Very
You're
nice.
You're stuck with us, Brian.
No, listen, it is. I think it's the other
it's
way around.
It's your lucky day.
Listen, now see, I'm going to split the difference between Kevin's statement of me being stuck with you guys and Judy's of it being my lucky day. I think somewhere in the middle, I think we all benefit from our,
shared experience.
Our shared experience. Thank you, Violetta.
We're a team.
Sure.
That's how it works.
Yeah, I'm like the sixth man. I come rolling in after the game is firmly in hand. I come in, you know. Take the fourth quarter, something like that. I'm like one of the guys. Well, no, I was going to equate myself to one of the guys who played for the Bears last night, but that's not that nowhere near. I don't think
they're all going to be on the team by Saturday.
Well, yeah, so that's probably a bad comparison.
Did you know any of them?
No, who knows any of them?
Not James Daniels.
I mean, I don't even know the real team, the team that actually plays on.
Who are the two guys, Kevin? That they were said that it was coming down. One's there was a. Two guys, and they're saying this. They were both competing like for the last spot. One had a good game. One had a pick six last night, and the other had a big rushing game.
Ryan Nall is the running back / fullback that had another big game. I'm blanking on the other guy's name, but Ryan Nall is a guy. He, you know, every preseason and training camp, Bears fans fall in love with like one guy who's a fringe guy. Maybe
yes.
He's going to make the team or not.
Right.
That's Ryan Nall this year.
He's going to be the saving grace of the team.
Are you saying Nall?
Nall, N-A-L.
Yeah, like his chances of making the team.
No.
Okay.
He might if they decide to
Yeah, he could be. When are the final cuts due?
They'll be tomorrow. We'll know for sure.
Oh, boy.
Down to 53.
It's going to be very exciting.
Yes.
By very exciting, I mean heartbreaking.
Yes.
Because I know. Listen, here's what I've learned from watching Hard Knocks over the various seasons. Mm-hmm. I know tomorrow morning there's going to be some phone calls.
Yeah.
And guys are not going to want to answer their phone because then they have to go see the man. And when the call ends with "and bring your playbook,"
yeah, it's not.
That's
good.
No, you're never coming.
Say
back.
Tyler Bray, the third string quarterback who played all night, says he just tries to avoid his phone. He's just like, I hope my phone does not ring over the next 24 to 48 hours.
You can avoid it all you want, but the call is coming.
It's coming.
They're going to leave a voicemail. They're going to send somebody for you. It's going to be somebody in slides and shorts, and they're going to wander up with a visor, probably on backwards, and summon you down to the coach's office. And then you got to go see Nagy, and it's all going to be it's all going to be downhill from there.
Some coaching assistant who's all sunburnt from training camp and kind of sweaty and disheveled.
Yeah.
A month out down in Bourbonnais, he's going to come find you. He'll bring you in.
They'll hunt you down. You can't hide from Final Cuts.
Yeah,
it's like, if I don't answer the phone, nobody's going to find me.
Hard Knocks does a great job of showing you, though, the heartbreak that does come with that. Because you start camp with 90 guys, which means almost, 40% of those guys aren't going to be on an NFL team. Maybe another team will pick them up. It doesn't necessarily mean they're not NFL worthy. It just sometimes means they don't fit the spot in
that organization.
Right.
And isn't it amazing that you can watch Hard Knocks and care about teams that the rest of the season you will not follow, you won't care about, these players.
Mm-hmm.
But for the short season of Hard Knocks, you're like, oh, I'm behind this guy 100%. I don't care about the Browns.
Right.
Let's be honest. I barely know where Cleveland is on a map. But now I'm invested in who's going to get sent home from the Browns.
Hard Knocks is must-watch stuff. It's really great.
Yeah, it's great. Well, we have a big show planned for you. It's always good when you're involved. 312-981-7200. That's our phone number. That's the text number. That's how you get a hold of us. Also on social media, Brian Noonan Show on Facebook and Twitter. We're going to check in with Lourdes Duarte in just a few minutes. She's going to give us an update on the water treatment plant explosion yesterday and this troubling information that CPS still won't really tell us how many people have cleared their background check, and school starts, if I'm not mistaken, on Tuesday. Reverend Gregory Livingston will be in here. Their preparations are underway for another protest march. Richard Roper's coming in. We've got some movies to talk to him about. The Knarble wagon will, of course, roll. The new and improved Knarble wagon. I was so jealous when
Isn't
I saw
it
you. Oh, man, it's a fine piece of furniture, that Knarble wagon from Walter E. Smith. They did a fine job. I may have to commission one for my own house.
But now it's like one of those mosquito lights where all the flies go to it, because everybody just comes to Ro's office now like, what is this? And everyone starts making a glass.
You know what you need to do? You need to get like a nice velvet sheet to put over
it.
because really it does. Call. They've got the beautiful Walter E. Smith crystal water ice bucket on there, and then a myriad of various spirits. I have, you know, that's why on Sundays when I'm here and nobody else is, we're usually hammered before the show even starts because I'm like, well,
you
I'm
walk past that. Yeah. Like, come on, it's the weekend.
Well, I was not going to mind if I have a couple of highballs.
Do what Violetta does, fill the bottles with water, whatever you take out, you pour water in.
I have so much iced tea that I carry in one of those Camelback bags, and I just squirt it right in. He'll never know. Telemore Dew, iced tea, it all kind of goes together.
You know the tricks.
Yeah, so we got all kinds of things coming up. And then Great Moments in Vinyl is going to be here, live music after 6 o'clock. So a lot to get to, but you know at the bottom of the hour what we have to get to. We're going to get to the news. Judy, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Well, shutting down the Kennedy is not an option. We'll explain.
All right. Time to go to traffic. This is going to be a fun traffic day for Violetta. Her report this time sponsored by the Illinois Department of Transportation. Pat Tomasulo of WGN Morning News got his own comedy show. You heard me. And Saturday nights in Chicago will never be the same. Man of the People, Saturdays at 10 on WGN-TV. Brian Noonan in for Rowan Anna. Big holiday weekend, but that doesn't mean that the news stops and takes a holiday. No, something is always going on. Lourdes Duarte knows that better than anybody because she is waiting to do the news all night. Hi, Lourdes. How are you? Huh? Do we have... Yep, it's all the way up. The boys are looking at me. So,
classic technical difficulty.
Classic. They're like, oh, do you have it all set? I'm like, yeah, I've got it all set. Remote 2 is on. I see Lord is there. She's waving to me. She's working hard. She's doing all sorts of stuff. Here comes the team
just
behind
press
the
all
glass.
The buttons and see
oh,
what
she's
happens.
Got her notepad out. She's writing us a message.
What happened, Jeff? There we go.
She says hi.
There it is.
Hi, Lourdes. Hold on. I like to watch Jeff
and
panic.
She's wearing
there
white.
You are. Hi, Lourdes.
Wait, do you guys hear me now?
I hear
oh,
you
this
now.
This is amazing. It is. The magic of radio.
It is amazing. This makes for communication just gems. Yes. So, hi, Lourdes. How are
hi.
You?
How did you get stuck working today? That's what I'd like to know.
Listen, whenever there's a holiday, that's when I come in. How did you get stuck? How you know you seem to be in the same boat. They don't let you. They don't let you go and enjoy the holidays.
They like me so much. They want me to work on the holiday.
See,
yeah, that's right.
I'm going to go with that frame of mind, too, that I'm just so loved that
that's
they
right.
asked me to
they
come in.
They can't get enough of me.
Right.
They so, can't get enough of me.
Well, I'm glad you're here. All right. A horrible story yesterday at the Calumet
yes.
Water Reclamation Plant. We've been hearing about the injuries, bravery, and the great work from the EMTs and the fire department to get people out. What are we hearing today regarding the cause and the condition of some of the survivors?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. What an incredible story when you saw those pictures yesterday, and to think that it took one of these gentlemen, it took 2 hours to get him out of that rubble. What we're hearing today is that 8 of the 10 individuals are now out of the hospital. The other 2 are in more serious condition, but so that's what we're getting from authorities. And then what they're calling this is human error. Apparently, the individual who was working on this used some sort of torch on that methane gas, and he was supposed to use a different type of tool, not
okay.
that, and that's what may have sparked, or what they believe at this point, started that fire, that explosion that they had that caused those incredible images and all these people, 10 in all, to be injured and to be sent to the hospital. But again, the update right now, 8 of them have now been released.
Is there any talk about the construction of the plant itself? There were some stories coming out that because of its age, that may have contributed to some of the, to the extent of the damage.
And that's all that things that I think are going to come out in the next few weeks or so as fire departments continue to do their investigation into this. What happened? Was it solely just the fact that he was using this torch and that's what led to the explosion? There's a lot more to it that I think we'll learn in the coming days. But as of right now, that's at least what they're telling us from the fire department, that this torch, human error, as they call it,
okay.
is the initial cause of all of this.
Well, and hopefully, thankfully, there were not more people
yeah,
injured, and the ones who were the ones who were injured seem to be on the right path.
Yeah, they're saying it's unbelievable that no one was killed in
yeah.
all of this. When you consider again 2 hours just to get one of them out of that
yeah.
rubble, and that they had to like dig in about 20 feet below just to get to them. So,
yeah, and the technology involved to use airbags to lift the concrete off. It's an amazing story.
Yeah.
This is troublesome to parents whose kids are about to start CPS on Tuesday. Now, in this summer, the Tribune did a huge expose about people who had been accused of abusing children in the Chicago public school system who had not had a background check done on them. So this CPS said, all right, well, listen, we're going to get on this. Everybody's going to get fingerprinted. All the staff, everybody, all the volunteers. We're going to do one of the biggest quick turnaround background checks ever. Well, now school starts in a few days, and CPS is not telling us how many workers have been disqualified. They're saying, you know, we've got some of the people done, but they're not being very forthright about how many people have actually passed or not passed this background check.
Yeah, and the last number that we heard, it's about 99% of the workers, volunteers, vendors have now gone through that background check, but you still have a few thousand who have not. And what they're saying is that on the first day of school, let's say if yours hasn't gone through yet or you haven't been able to do it, they'll have somebody there available to do your fingerprinting. But yeah, you're right, it's going to cost them, or it's cost them about I think it's $1.5 million to rerun about 45,000 background checks, because what was happening is that you would get a job, let's say at CPS, or work as a volunteer maybe 5-10 years ago, but they did a background check at the time, but then throughout your time there, they weren't rerunning checks every 5 years or every couple of years,
right,
or things like that. So that's why they then went back through again to redo these 45,000 background checks. I would imagine that by Tuesday, you got to hope that they get them done. But as of right now, they're not completely done with that process. And CTU, of course, coming out and talking about this, that's the teachers union, saying that, you know, they're making teachers feel like criminals when they really should be treated as a resource, as a wonderful resource for CPS. But by having them go through these background checks and these fingerprints and pushing it so much that they feel like they're being almost criminalized at this point.
Well, and I, you know, coming from my parents both worked at CPS, I understand that feeling, but I also, in this climate, you can't take any chances. And I think most good teachers are going to say, yeah, it's a little bit of an inconvenience to have to go get my fingerprints done, but that's part of the deal now. We all know that's part of the deal. The other problem is that some of these teachers are having are things that have been expunged from their records, things they thought were gone, are all of a sudden on these new enhanced background checks popping up and causing them more trouble. And that's where, you know, that's where you go, come on, it's been 20 years and that was off my record.
And I think it also makes you look at just background checks in general, because there's been so much talk about how these are done, which companies are running them, how they're doing it, because you're right. You know, somebody might have, like, let's say a drunk driving conviction that maybe was expunged from their record that's now popping up. So that would slow down the system to where maybe they can't go to school and work on the first day. So it's just getting through some of those hurdles and those obstacles right now. But I think the bigger question should be, which is the company that's running these background checks, which are incredibly important.
Right.
We did a story as part of WGN Investigates, I think like 5 or 6 months ago, where we had a Lyft driver who had gone through a background check.
Yes.
And was out on the road, even though he had a conviction for a terrorism related charge and served time. And this person was out on the road, and the city took it very seriously and fined some of these companies millions of dollars. They've now reached a settlement, but it really shows you how important they are and that we need to make sure that the companies that are doing them properly.
Yeah, we got to background check the background checkers.
Yeah.
What big stories are you following for tonight?
Well, we've got the two big funerals, which we've been watching throughout the day. Aretha Franklin, of course, and then Senator John McCain. So we'll have stories on both of those. The other big story, I think, here locally, which we've been watching, is this little village fire that happened over the weekend where 10 kids were killed. We're now being told that there were 40 code violations on that home. So that's something that will come up. And then on top of that, you've got a fire that happened in Humboldt Park early this morning. 4 people hospitalized, 20 displaced. So a lot of news to cover here on the 4 o'clock news, which starts in just a little bit.
I'm going to keep you right up till 4.
No, that's okay.
Lourdes, have a great holiday weekend. I appreciate you taking some time today. We will talk to you again soon.
So nice to talk to you. You have a great weekend.
Thank you. Appreciate it. All right. That's Lourdes Duarte. Watch her tonight. All right. We're going right to the news. That's right. Because the news at 3:30 is sponsored by American Weathermakers. On the other side of that news, Reverend Gregory Livingston will be in studio with us to talk about the big march scheduled for Monday on the Kennedy. The news is sponsored by American Weathermakers. 3:30 on WGN. Here's Judy Pilak. Brian Noonan in for Rokan and Anna DeVellantis. This hour is powered by ComEd, powering lives. Ronan on vacation. They'll be back on Tuesday. If you've been listening to the news, of course you have. There is another protest march planned for Monday to shut down part of the Kennedy near O'Hare Airport. The organizer of that march, Reverend Gregory Livingston from the New Hope Baptist Church in West Humboldt Park, is in the studio with me. Reverend, thanks for taking some time today. Good to see you.
You too, Brian. Thank you so much.
The first question, I think, has to be, why another march? What do you think this march will accomplish that the other marches have not?
Typically, people who get protest fatigue are the ones who don't feel denied. Those that feel denied are the ones that want things to continue to happen. So we're still moving forward because our demands have not yet been met. And we've reached out to the mayor's office. And so we're waiting to hear something back to have a good, real transactional discussion about the needs of the people. In other words, we want the administration to hear what the people need as opposed to the administration telling the people what they need.
Well, the biggest demand that you have is that the mayor resign.
Yeah,
do you honestly believe that is ever going to happen?
Well, when you have an impossible job, you have to find somebody that doesn't believe in the impossible to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But while he's still getting the paycheck and benefits, he still is our mayor. So while he's still getting paid, we still want some action.
All right. Now, it's the purpose of the march, and correct me if I'm wrong, to draw attention to the gun violence in the city, also to lack of certain services in certain areas of the city. It seems simple to say, but aren't we all aware of how violent and how awful the city is? And I mean, maybe that's easy to say from a position of not being in those areas, but how much more aware do we need to be?
Well, it's deeper than that. We're out to end the tale of two cities. Chicago has been intentionally segregated, and we're looking at our demands to try to intentionally desegregate Chicago in terms of people and resources. Because just like with prohibition of alcohol, it created the whole new industry with the Al Capones and people like that. And once alcohol was legalized, then the Al Capones had to switch to another industry, like drugs, whatever it might be. So we look at it on the south and west sides that when you have a prohibition of resources and access, you have illegitimate or alternative economies that develop, just like in prohibition.
Right.
And the currency of these economies is violence, and the tool is the gun. So it's deeper than having an awareness. We feel that our demands will actually have a structural effect in terms of helping people to reduce the violence themselves.
All right, we mentioned the demand of the mayor resigning. You keep saying the demands. What are exactly the demands?
Well,
what are you asking City Hall to do?
Sure. One of the things we're looking at is construction. We want legislation that requires 20% of the workforce to be African American. We're being very specific about that because the problems are happening in primarily predominantly African-American communities. We want to repurpose closed schools, not just to make them schools again, but I would like to see some of these buildings, every one of them have a daycare center in it, so we could take the young, you know, the very young, and begin to mold and shape them and help them nutrition-wise, health-wise, you know, everything. And then to make them also digital training centers for the older people. We're looking to have economic investment on the south and west sides commensurate with downtown and north side planning, funding, and partnerships. We want resources for Black-led anti-violence initiatives. The top five anti-violence entities in the city are all ran by white men. We want to give money to Black men to help Black boys. Number five, we want a community-led renegotiation of the Fraternal Order of Police contract. It's a contract that protects police officers from the frivolous complaints of criminals, as well as protecting civilians from cover-ups, like with the Laquan McDonald and the collusion that happened with the officers before the video came out. Number six, we're looking for anti-recidivism legislation. The guy at Stateville told me, he says, look, we need a shipment of 300 boys a week to keep this place going. And these young men are working there for Microsoft, Dell, Levi, and all these places, but when they're released, they can't get a job at these same companies doing the same thing because they have backgrounds. And we think that's not right. If they could do it in prison, they should be able to do it outside of the prison as well. Because if you don't help them then, they go back to that very thing that sent them to prison in the first place. So some creative and visionary thinking that, and so the leverage that we have from hitting commerce, because O'Hare International Airport, that's a huge center of commerce,
sure,
is to say, look, listen to the people that now are complaining because we need to get this done.
Now, the mayor's office said the other day, hey, it's a little ironic that you're going after O'Hare because the mayor has just announced that there's going to be all sorts of new jobs, retail jobs, food jobs, those kind of service jobs at the airport. How do you respond to that?
Plantation economics. Plantation economics is when you give the slaves crumbs and they're supposed to be satisfied with that, where in your house at your table, you're eating filet mignon. And so what we're looking at is to move from plantation economics to a B2B model. Let's do some real business. Let's look eyeball to eyeball and face to face. Let's talk about giving African Americans a 25% cut across the board of everything in the city. You know, we helped to build this city many years ago, and we still haven't gotten our due. We've been victims of this segregation. I mean, come on. You know, this is the 55th anniversary of Dr. King's I Have a Dream speech. August 5th was the 52nd anniversary of his march to Marquette Park about restrictive covenants. September 4th is the 52nd anniversary of the march to Cicero, Illinois, dealing with the brutal beating of the young man, black man, Jerome Huey. And so, you know, we're still fighting some of the same demons, but we have to, we've learned from them. I've learned more from my failures than I have not trying. So we want to build an infrastructure because, guess what? If black people are helped in this city, everybody gets helped in this city.
Now, a lot of the programs, a lot of the demands make perfect sense at the outset. The big question is going to be, of course, we're in Illinois, we're in Chicago. Where's the money coming from? How do we fund these programs? As necessary as many of them might be, there's a lot of necessary programs that aren't getting funded.
Well, you know, one of the ways we fund them is by creating corporate partnerships. I love Google. I love these great companies. I'm glad they're here. And they're here, many of them, with tax incentives and tax abatements. And in many ways, they're being subsidized by taxpayers. And these are cash-rich companies. Let's start partnering with these companies to, you know, when they closed the 50 schools, when ROM closed those 50 schools, that was the largest mass closing in the history of America. Mm-hmm. Well, it cost the taxpayers $1 million a day at that time to maintain these schools. You know, water, heat, so the pipes don't burst. Security. Well, that was a frivolous and crazy use of money with no plan about what to do with these schools after you close them. If he were the kind of mayor like Harold Washington that would listen to the community, that would have his ears open, you know, but he isn't that kind of guy. Rahm's not personable like that. Rahm runs as opposed to staying there and having a real conversation. That's okay. We could work with him even if he's like that. But we could have these partnerships with these great businesses that are here, but we have to have the vision and the political will to do it.
Let me ask you this. We had the Lakeshore March. We had Father Flager did the Dan Ryan March. We've got the march coming up on Monday. It seems as if the organization is not unified. You in fact, at UNT Hardeman were supposed, you know, you did.
But
the
we kissed and made up.
You kissed and made up,
right.
But it doesn't seem like there's a unified front. It's like there was the argument, well, which is more effective? Is the Dan Ryan March going to be, was that more effective than the Lakeshore Drive? What does it take within the community to get an organized front? Because you have battles on a lot of different areas, but it doesn't seem like even within the group, you can agree.
We're unified on our demands. Some people want to pass the ball, some want to run the ball, but the same goal is still there. We want to get to the end zone, and the end zone for us is ending the Tale of Two Cities here in Chicago. So it's okay. I mean, every family bumps head. Tell me a married couple that doesn't have a difference of opinion, and I'll tell you a man that's lying, you know. And so it's just part of making the sausage. It's part of, you know, everybody's minds and their intelligence and all that coming together to create something that's going to be helpful. I'm glad we have some conflict. The Bible says iron sharpens iron.
Okay. So it's everybody's goal is the same. It's just the disagreement comes in how to get to that goal.
Sometimes, we all want to stop the killing.
Sure.
I mean, you know, just like in America, you know, we go overseas, we want oil. Mm-hmm. Some people want to negotiate for it. Some folk want to take it. All the Americans agree we need energy, but there's a way to do it. And you have to have the right people in office to get the way you think that it should be done. If you have a hawk, it's going to be a war. If you have a dove, it's going to be detente.
Now, we all know that a protest is meant to upset things. It's meant to be inconvenient.
Yes, sir.
That's, you know, that's what the protests are all about, which is fine. How would you then, how do you talk to the people who maybe have never been to the communities affected by the demands that you guys have? And, you know, they were inconvenienced on Lakeshore Drive, and now other people are going to be inconvenienced on Monday. And they don't really know. So how do you talk to them and go, listen, what we're doing is for the greater good. Yes, you may be stuck in traffic for a little bit, but it's not. This is the reason. This is the purpose.
John McCain said, never give up. Never give up the fight. Keep fighting. And as an American, our history in terms of the American Revolution and not wanting to be subjects of the British crown and not wanting to continue to be colonies, to be free, we even had a declaration of independence from the Brits, right? And so there is a fight that ensues. We're peaceful. We're not using muskets and bayonets and swords or whatever to fight. We're using, you know, the vote in America is not just with the ballot, but with the feet and the bodies as well. We're exercising our right as Americans, which is part of our DNA, that when something is wrong, we have to do something to change it. I mean, the Boston Tea Party and all these things, where people were inconvenienced always. And the thing about it, though, Brian, is that, you know, somebody who's never fought for anything doesn't realize they're benefiting from somebody else's sacrifice. Right. Somebody else sacrificed that was disliked. Somebody else sacrificed that was misunderstood. Somebody else sacrificed that was lied on. That's what it takes. But some people don't realize it because they haven't studied their own history. The British crown. I'm not a big British crown fan. Meghan and Harry, big deal. You know how they got to be the crown? Brutality, right, man. Let's call it what it is. And that's part also, I think, Brian, of being human.
What about the hurdle that when you're trying to explain this to people who aren't there, and you've got areas of the city that are tarnished by a brush of a few, and so the people who live there who are really trying, this is their home.
Sure.
But they're painted with the same brush as the gangbangers and the alternate economy, as you were saying before. How do you get that message across and say, hey, listen, yes, if you bring business here, we'll have to deal with some people who are, you know, disruptive, but the majority of people really do want what everybody else wants, to live in peace, to raise their family, and just be part of the city.
You know, I've pastored in some of the most challenged areas of the city, you know, and one of the things that I've learned in terms of my ministry is that it is very difficult to inspire the uninspired, to inspire the downtrodden, to inspire the broken, people who have been disappointed so much. But on the other side, it's also difficult to inspire people who are afraid, you know, because their fears become irrational and they begin to strangle them from having the ability to see the possibility. And so, you know, it is just hard work. There's no other way around it. As someone, and we have a lot of great people who have to be willing to be misunderstood, you know, because there's no other way to get to it. You know, every football team has spring training. And every pro player will tell you, I did not start training when spring training started, because spring training will kill you if you don't work out the entire year. Same thing with this. There's a goal that we want, but we understand there's some really tough and hard workouts that we have to do in order to get to that place.
Well, as I've had conversations with people about the marches in the past, one thing keeps coming up, and it's the negative mindset of, Will anything ever change? We can have marches and protests all the time. Is anything going to change? I guess, what's your short answer to that? Do you think anything will change, or is it just we're going to keep banging our heads against the wall for perpetuity?
The wonderful lesson of Black history in America is that things do change. It just takes time.
All right. Give us the nuts and bolts of Monday.
Monday, we're going to be staging at the Cumberland Avenue entrance ramp at 11:30 a.m. From there, we will march down the ramp and march onto the entire Kennedy Expressway and go up to River Road, where we will stretch across the Kennedy and the River Road entrance ramp. We have enough people, they will go a little bit further down and cross the median and block the other side of the expressway. In and out of O'Hare Field, we want to block that traffic because, you know, we have to do it. I've already talked to international reporters that are saying international flight schedules are inflexible. And so the thing is, so is literal death.
All right, let me ask you this before I let you go. Last, when the Dan Ryan March was happening, the mayor came out, the police, Eddie Johnson came out, although they're all behind it. Lakeshore Drive, we heard kind of the same thing.
We rejected their help on Lakeshore Drive.
Okay.
Yeah.
What have we heard from the city or CPD regarding Monday?
CPD has contacted me, and at first they were saying they had a place for us to protest. I think in the airport, I was like, man, we ain't going up in the airport. That's Homeland Security. This ain't no Vietnam thing, you know. But state troopers, we've talked to them. You know, there's the Park Ridge Police, because that's where on Cumberland. We haven't talked with them. I read Chief Kaminsky's comments in the paper. And so, basically, when Martin King marched through Cicero, when they marched through Cicero, Cicero, there were 250 marchers and 3,000 police officers. When they marched through Selma, Edmund Pettus, there were 500 marchers and 2,000 police officers. Now, these officers are different than those. You know, we're not, we don't expect to get beat with billy clubs and German shepherds and fire hoses, but they're going to do their job. We don't have to tell them what to do. Right. But we are practicing civil disobedience, and people may not believe this, but I'm standing in the tradition of Mandela, King, Jesus, Gandhi. If they have to arrest me, I'll be the first to get arrested, and it would be an honor.
Well, and that was part of the disagreement with you and Teal Hardeman. He was claiming that, listen, this kind of march, a lot of marchers could get arrested, and he did not want to do that. People know going in to any sort of protest, any sort of civil disobedience, that's a risk you're taking. Right?
Right. So we made T.O. the bailout man. Okay. T.O. will bail us out. And I said this also. If you have warrants and you come to the march and you have warrants on you, and if you don't know what warrants are, that means you don't have one, but you got them, you know. Ain't nothing we can do for you if you get arrested and you know you got warrants. So don't come crying, because it's like you should pray for us, but don't come on the expressway. But it's getting arrested is not a requirement of being there. But there will be people there that are experienced and trained and that understand what it means in the Gandhi and King tradition to get arrested. So
state police have said they're not going to let you shut down the expressway. And I know they've said that before. So what do you expect as you confront the state police down at the bottom of that Cumberland ramp?
Well, they're great people, and that's what they're supposed to say. They're supposed to say that. It is illegal. That's why it's civil disobedience. If we ask permission, it's not disobedience. And so, you know, we're still going to do what we have to do, because we have to make our point for the voiceless and the helpless and the hopeless.
All right. Well, Reverend Gregory Livingston, New Hope Baptist Church in West Humboldt Park, Monday, noon. You're telling people if they want to be involved to meet at the Cumberland on-ramp to the westbound Kennedy.
Yeah, they can park in Mariano's parking lot or around there, and they can catch the Great Blue Line. It'll be right there at the Cumberland stop.
That's it. Well, good luck on Monday, and keep fighting the fight.
And you bail me out, Brian. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll be there with Tia with our checkbook. We'll take care of everything.
That was good. I like it.
All right, we will be back in just a minute. But first, we must find out what Judy is talking about at the top of the hour.
A gang member living in Mexico deported back to Chicago to face murder charges.
Monday morning on the Steve Cochran Show, Dave Plyer is in, and at 6:50, he'll be talking to Mike Rowe from Dirty Jobs, Deadliest Catch, returning the favor, Labor Day conversation on the state of the job market and how to attract millennials and Gen Z to blue-collar jobs. I'm not familiar with Gen Z. Does she do traffic at some point on the station? I don't know who Gen Z is. Because you guys are not Gen. You guys are not Gen Z, are you, Kevin Violetta?
No, I think that might be younger than us.
Right. No, we're the punching bag millennials.
Scapegoats
for everything.
I don't paint anybody with any sort of brush. We're all at fault for everything. That's how we do it. All right, Kevin. We talked a little bit about the Bears before. Let's revisit that just real quickly. We only have a couple minutes. What did we learn? What did we learn from our preseason? What are we looking forward to now? You know, Nagy is set. Should he have sat everybody the last two preseason games? I think it's a good idea, because you know why risk one of these guys getting hurt? But what do we see? Are we optimistic?
You know, when he rested all the starters when that news came out, I liked it. Then I hated it. Then I liked it again. And then right before kickoff, I hated it.
Sure, because you were in the stadium going, I'm not going to see anybody that I care about.
Well, my reasoning initially was, look, this is an opportunity to get better.
Sure.
And you're missing out on that opportunity. But then after hearing Matt Nagy talk, I was back on the other side. And because he was convincing, and he did make sense. Like, every case is different. I don't think this is necessarily just a general thought from Matt Nagy that he's always going to rest the starters, but it's been a really long preseason for the Bears. They had the Hall of Fame game, an extra week of camp, so all we've seen is injuries for the Bears over the past few years. Go to Green Bay healthy, and that's pretty much what they are.
And let's get things started. How is Mitch? Are we confident in Mitch? Is Mitchell ready to go?
I have a lot of optimism for Mitch. The thing is, this
strong
offense,
jawline, that Mitch,
very strong jawline, got some facial hair going.
Yeah.
This offense is going to take time. It's going to take time. There's a lot of moving parts and a lot of pressure on the quarterback, so there could be a little bit of growing pains. But I think there's reason to have hope for Mitch Trubisky and the Bears. When I say hope, I don't know exactly what that means. Maybe a shot at the playoffs this year.
Wow.
Give it some time.
Very optimistic. Shot at the playoffs. All right, listen, we got to get to Judy's news, and we'll do that in 2 minutes on WGN. Thank you, Judy. Hey, listen, after 4:30 for your chance to win a pair of tickets to the Blackhawks Training Camp Festival on Saturday, September 15th at the United Center, courtesy of Mathnasium. Challenge lives, changing lives through math. Buy tickets at ChicagoBlackhawks.com or call Ticketmaster at 800-745-3000. That's right. Sometime this hour, you can get a four-pack of tickets for the show, for the Training Camp Festival. That'll be fun. I can't believe hockey is back. What's it, October 7th is the first home game. Blackhawks back on the ice. We got Kopech pitching again tonight. Very exciting. Did they take away his Twitter account, Kevin? Do you have any insight on that? Are we going to...
I think he's great on the social media.
So. Yeah?
Yeah, all I think right. They'll encourage it.
If I were the owner of or the league, I would make everyone get off social media.
Would you?
Well...
Completely?
I would have... Here's what I would do.
I would
do.
Just give them guidelines and tell them, don't be dumb.
Well, that's easy to say, don't be dumb. I would make them go back before I sign, before anybody, you know, signed a contract. Once we start sniffing around you with the, you know, whether you're in college or in the minors, and it looks like you've got a chance to make the show, you are going to get some sort of expert who's going to go back with you and go through all of your social media. Yes, we're going to take off the you know, the Facebook pictures of you sitting way too close to your buddy's head when he's passed out. We're going to take out any tweet you might have made when you were 17, even though most logical people will go, well, there's a difference between what we think at 17 and what we think later in life. But I would have them get rid of everything.
Right. The problem is people screen grab these stuff. So even if you delete them, then they reappear.
Well, that's why you do it before. That's why you do it before, you know, like by the time they found Kopech stuff, he was already on the radar.
Right.
You have to have some sort of sports soothsayer who can look into the future and say, this guy's going to be good.
Right.
Or if you're a parent and you think your child has some sort of future in athletics, or really anything, if you think your child has a future, you should probably be monitoring what they're doing on social media. And then once I will amend the statement. So once you're a grown adult and you're in a league, you know, I agree they should just have the guidelines, but you got to make those people adhere to the guidelines. I'm sure Judy can't just tweet whatever she wants without any sort of repercussions. You know, God forbid.
I'm very careful about what I tweet.
I was going to say, if you were left unfiltered, things would turn horribly, horribly wrong quickly.
I don't know what you mean by that.
I don't either.
And I'm going to go tweet something bad about you now.
Of course. Well, get in line. It's at Brian Noonan Show if you're tweeting horrible things about me. Go right there. You can tweet horrible things, but in Myrtle Beach, you cannot yell horrible things. Have you been following this story? Judy, it's a huge news story that you can be fined up to $500 for using vulgar language in Myrtle Beach.
Finally. That's in
yes, exactly. They've raised over $22,000. I was going to say, I've been to Myrtle Beach before. I did not realize that I couldn't speak in my native tongue, which is profanity.
I would be broke.
There's absolutely no way. I would probably have to write a check before I got into town.
Yeah.
Listen,
they wouldn't even let you in town. Yeah,
this is going to cover the first couple days. come see me on Friday if there's a couple thousand work. Yeah, probably. So yeah, in theory, I like this, that you can be charged with a misdemeanor for disturbing the peace if you're out there screaming curse words and all that. I get it because we've all been around people who were swearing in inappropriate places. Now, and some would argue there's no appropriate place to swear. I would say you are wrong. And I would probably have thrown an expletive in there.
People who swear inappropriately in places don't normally swear. You know what I mean? I'm a swearer, yes. And I know when not to swear.
Yes.
But it's the people who don't, you know, because sometimes, even here, sometimes people will be swear, and I'm like, oh, you don't ever swear.
Right.
And now you're swearing, and I'm trying to, like, hush them because I'm like, you know, you're in the hallway here.
Yes, and there's...
Weird.
It's a place of business.
Yes.
Two, there's microphones. Three, yeah, if you're... It's like anything else. If you're not adept at something, don't try it for the first time where a lot of people can look at you.
You could get injured. Yeah. Don't even try it.
Try it at home.
Or fine.
Yeah, in your car maybe. There's plenty of times to practice if you're not...
Practice in front of the mirror if you have to.
Yes, and call yourself every name in the book. Because listen.
It's an art.
There's nobody who... Well, there's very few people who swear more than I do. There
really?
May be people who swear as much as I do.
I feel like I've never heard you swear.
Of course not. You know why? Because we're in here. Catch me on the street the minute I clear the doorway of the building. I get it all out of my system in a horrible torrent of swear words from here to my car. And then I save up for more in traffic on the way home. But no, I try.
You're the guy mumbling to himself as he walks
constantly
down the street.
People,
son of a mother.
Listen, if there hasn't been, you know, a commitment paper drawn up when somebody's watched me walk to the car, I don't know what's going on.
I swear so much that they used to come in here, and they haven't done it in a while, to like give me the heads up that a tour was coming in. I'm like, what? Well, what are you saying? They're like, Judy, just so you know, we're bringing in, wow. And they're adults, too.
Right.
Like, I don't know what you mean by that.
Yeah, we don't want adults hearing swear words. Well, come on. Nobody should swear at work. And again, I am not a prude by any stretch of imagination, but it throws me off when I'm in an environment where there's some places I expect people to swear. But as you mentioned, Judy, this is not one of them.
Okay, no, I'm sorry. I have to disagree. I swear, that's where I swear at work all the time. I don't swear at home.
You swear at work all the time?
But I work in a newsroom.
Okay. And a hard-boiled newsroom, like something out of a 1940s movie?
I feel like, I hate to say it, as a girl, I started in this career 30 years ago, and I felt like I, you know, probably had a little chip on my shoulder, maybe I had to prove something.
Wow.
But I think that's why it started, and I don't know, maybe I just always was a swearer. I think
well,
I was.
On that note, it's annoying because I'm like a smaller girl, so if I swear, people are always like, huh, that's horrible.
Yeah, because it looks like a child like dropping an F-bomb in
front of them. Just don't
Which, nothing
it.
Funnier than children and old people swearing.
It's just, it's annoying, though, because sometimes I want to swear, too, and people don't take me seriously when I'm swearing.
Oh, my God.
Well,
that is a shame, because that's why you kind of swear. It's when I swear, people get scared, and I love it.
See,
maybe I can give you some tips, Violetta.
Yeah, go ahead. Judy should open some sort of online counseling service or a prep course.
Because I'm kind of small, too, and nobody messes
with me. Yeah, but I don't swear often, so when I do, people are like,
I was saying. It's so odd to hear when people swear when they don't normally. With me, if I don't swear, I think people get nervous.
Now, see, I would expect Judy to swear, but again, I wouldn't expect Violetta to swear. Not that you wouldn't get angry, not that you wouldn't want to state your opinion firmly, but you don't seem like a swearer.
Yeah, I think I cry before I swear.
Oh, that's
like,
never
even
good.
If I'm getting angry about something, I feel like crying.
Wow. See, don't get that frustrated. Kevin, are you of the school that you get shocked more when a woman swears than when a man swears? Because Judy,
I
got to point this out.
By person basis.
You go person by person? So
yeah.
Judy rolls off your back.
She swears, she's the kind of person you're like, yeah, that seems right. But some people you're like, what?
It seems right.
Kim Gordon swore in front of me, I'd be like, what? Kim just swore?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, she doesn't swear very much.
Certain people around here you just expect to swear.
Yeah. But I mean, I swear like as a matter of my conversation, my speech. You know what I mean? I don't swear when I'm mad. I do, but I also just swear. It's part of my... That's why I think people are immune to it with me. I swear all the time.
I do too, and
but
I think...
not at home, here.
Really? See, that's beautiful. I wish I could be that way and not have not sworn at home.
No, I'm not saying I've never sworn. Believe me, I've dropped the F-bomb. My kids are older, but when they were younger, I never said the F-word.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, my mom never did too, and the first time we heard her say it, my brothers and I were like, wow, we looked outside for four horsemen. We thought there was going to be blood coming from the faucets. It was the end of the world. Now she says it so much, it's like, seriously, can't you think of another word? You're an educated woman.
My mom's so cute because she also has an accent. So she swears like with a Serbian accent, and it's adorable. I'm like, Mom, keep going. Let them have it.
Somebody texted in, and you can too, at 312-981-7200. My 15-year-old daughter just told me she started swearing using ice cream flavors in response to the profanity from her friends. Oh, so you have a daughter who
Rocky
has...
Rocky Road.
You know, yeah, see, that's nice. That's cute and endearing.
Butter pecan.
Mint chocolate chip this.
See, Violetta, that might be the route for you. Rather
yeah,
than actually
like
dropping the bombs. Now, they're saying, even though they've made $22,000, Myrtle Beach, that they're not trying to impinge on anyone's freedom
of
speech.
It's so weird, and like, I guess if you're in a bar, it's a whole different ballgame. But if you're like out sitting like at Myrtle Beach, like out on the dock, and like there's just some weirdo, like, it's just weird and awkward for everybody.
All right, Nancy has a quick question. We will get to that at 312-981-7200. On the other side, first, we must check the headlines. What's coming up at 4:30, Judy?
A 25-year-old man killed by a Metra train today.
This week, the Chicago's Best team is bringing you some of your favorite summer foods, ice cream, burgers, and more on Chicago's Best. It's Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV. All right, Brian Noonan in for Rowan Anna. We were talking about Myrtle Beach finding people for swearing. Whoa, we love to swear here at WGN. When the mics are off, you should hear it. It's like a longshoreman convention in here. And that's not a slight on longshoremen. I don't want you getting off the boat and calling me angry. I made a passing comment before that young children and old people are always hilarious when they swear, and Nancy wants to ask me a question about that. Hi, Nancy.
I wanted to know where you draw the line at old people.
I'm going to say if you're over 85 and swearing, it's hilarious to me.
That's right.
If a 90-year-old is unleashing a string of profanities at me, no matter how angry they are, I'm going to find it funny. Even if they have valid points, I'm still going to laugh. You know?
There you have it. Okay. Well, I'm well below that, but I'm still a senior citizen, and I've been known to drop the F-bomb.
Yeah, listen, I'm not a spring chicken myself, Nancy, but I'm talking, if Betty White were in here and she started MFing me up and down, then I'd find that pretty funny.
Okay.
They seem so sweet.
All right, thanks, Nancy. Bye-bye. Yeah, see, that's the thing. They're like Judy. On
that's
the outside,
funny,
she
though.
Seems very sweet, but you know, inside the core, they're sour and bitter in there, just ready
what?
To come out. I'm kidding.
Take that back.
I take it back.
Take
no.
that effing back.
No, you know what
now,
I mean.
Now, I think Betty White is a bad example because
okay.
I'm seeing her dropping the F-bomb.
You're not?
Come on, I am.
Oh, sure.
Oh,
well,
sure, she's doing it.
But it's still, I'm not saying she would, but it's still funny because there's a small, older person. And all of a sudden, they're coming out with this string of profanity. That strikes me as hilarious.
Hmm. Well, that'll be me.
Well, start practicing now. On Monday, according to a texter at the 331, took my son to the Field Museum. On the way back to the car, we saw a bunch of skateboarders at the skate park. Well, right there, you know that's trouble. You got the skate punks hanging around in their Vans and their ill-fitting T-shirts and their saggy shorts. You know there's going to be some language coming out there. They were swearing every sentence. My kid, who is 7, started yelling at all of them, "Hey, there's a kid here. I don't need to be hearing all that swearing. Stop it." It's a militant 7-year-old who's going to uphold the laws of decency and get pantsed at school every
He'll
day.
He'll be at that skateboard park in a couple of years.
Sure he will. He'll be over there vaping.
His pants
doing
hanging
all,
out.
Yeah. Right. Oh, horrifying. Horrifying. We were the only time I made a public scene about swearing was when my daughter was little and we had gone to the Hollywood Bowl to they did this sing along with the Wizard of Oz thing, and so big crowds, and you would think, oh, this is going to be a nice family event. Well, for the most part, it was, except for one group right behind us of ne'er-do-wells. I'm going to put them in their mid-20s. This was before millennials became a thing, so don't think I'm singling anybody out. This is back in the day when 20-year-olds were just punks. And there's this one drunk guy is swearing nonstop. And my wife can see me getting madder and madder because I'm like that cartoon thermometer where the red just starts coming up and it's about to blow off the top of my head. And I finally turn around and I don't exactly remember what I said, but there might have been a profanity or two in there telling him, which ironically, using a profanity to sell someone to stop swearing, I get it, not the best choice of words, but that was the only time. And his friends all jumped to my defense. They're like, "Oh, we're so sorry, we'll get him out of here." Right? You know, because there's my daughter, she's like 5, she dressed as Dorothy, little innocent kid, and then some blabbermouth Yahoo. Now, if you're at a Bears game, I expect that kind of language. If I'm watching The Wizard of Oz at the Hollywood Bowl, wouldn't you think it'd be a more delicate crowd, Judy?
And how was someone drunk there?
Because you get drunk anywhere.
Oh.
There's been people drunk at church.
Seems an odd place.
There's people
to get
drunk on the air. Not you know, present company excluded.
Why was he even there?
But maybe he liked The Wizard of Oz. Maybe his friend liked The Wizard of Oz.
I don't think so.
I don't know. I don't know.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was very weird. Somebody also and I know we got to get to the news, but I just want to clear this up. Because my high school English teacher said this too, that profanity is the linguistic crutch of the ignorant. And somebody texted in, "Oh, profanity shows you're dumb. You should pick your words better." All studies that are coming out in the last couple of years say that people who swear are more intelligent and have a better grasp of the English language than people who do not swear because they choose when to swear and in what context.
But if you're using it as a filler... No.
It all depends on how you use it.
I told you, it's an art form.
It is an art form.
Some people are really great at it. Some people do sound unintelligent when they swear.
And the ones who aren't, those are the ones that, yes, they need to be shut down.
Yeah,
the ones who are doing it too loudly or inappropriately and
if
not
you
in
can
the right
weave,
every other word. Right, and it's just like not the right context. It's got to be, there has to be some kind of a little kick to it.
Yeah. To paraphrase A Christmas Story, one of the great classic films of our time, if you can weave a tapestry of obscenity... then you should be able to use obscenity. If not, shut up, sit down. Yeah. We don't need to hear from you.
There should be a test.
Richard Roper is coming in. Is that what I've heard? Is that right? Richard Roper is coming up after the news. So we should probably get to the news, right, Judy? You've been swearing at me under your breath for not coming to you on time.
I have been, but
I understand.
One has heard.
Well, now it's a little...
All in the proper context.
Oh, sure. That's why you're so intelligent, because you know when and where to swear. It's news time on WGN. Here's Judy. Thank you, Judy. Brian Noonan in for Rowan Anna. Richard Roper in the studio. Hello, Rich.
Hello,
what are you
buddy.
Doing in
Good
town
to see you, my friend.
It's great to see you, too. I'm just
you know
I'm
what?
Surprised.
You know what? Yeah, here's
I
the thing.
You could be jetting off somewhere exotic.
This is actually one of my favorite holidays to stay in Chicago. It's still summer. I know we might get a little sprinkle here and there, but you still get beautiful weather. It's the start of college football. The White Sox, Kid K. I've decided I'm going to call him is pitching, and it's just a great time to see family and friends and enjoy those last 3 days before we hunker down and start thinking about the fall. So I almost never go away on Labor Day.
Well, it makes sense, and a lot of people are gone too, which makes it
even nicer. Yeah, it's nice. I'm also in 16 unions, so I like to on Labor Day thank all of the folks. Folks at the Writers Guild and AFTRA and SAG and, of course, the coal miners. I haven't used that card in a while.
Yes,
but
well, listen, you have a long and storied history in the mines.
Yes,
thankfully, that black lung cleared up. We were happy to hear that.
You're looking
that
really very good. Festive today, my friend.
Thank you. There's not too many weeks left. It's the same mentality. With summer starting to wane, the Hawaiian shirts will start to wane as well. So I got to get them. I
got
to wear them while I can.
Embrace that
summer. Mentality.
Every time I see a Tommy Bahama's logo, I think of you.
Well, trust me, so do I. And I'm like, hey, Tommy Bahama, cough it up a little bit. So we've passed kind of the big blockbuster season.
This is correct, my friend.
And now we're into that kind of we might dump a few
little in between
to that holiday movie thing.
Little in between, exactly. After Labor Day, the Toronto Film Festival for movie buffs, folks know one of the biggest film festivals in the world. You get a lot of buzz about Oscar movies that'll be coming our way in Chicago in the next couple of months. So that's underway now. In the meantime, here in Chicago, we have a lot of movies that are coming out. Nothing huge. Now, as I mentioned yesterday with Ro and Anna, there's a movie called Operation Finale.
Yes, I keep seeing. I see all the.
And you're a history buff, so I think you'd find this interesting because it's based on the true story of Adolf Eichmann, who was one of Hitler's most notorious and evil henchmen, and escaped actually at the end of World War II. Hitler and Himmler and Goering and so many other of the cowards committed suicide. When the troops were closed. Him. This guy got away, famously to Argentina, and then in 1960, Israeli, operatives tracked him down and hauled him back to Israel. And there was, the famous televised trial, which was really the first time that the world got to see and hear firsthand from more than 100 Holocaust survivors. So the movie's called Operation Finale. Ben Kingsley, one of our great actors, plays Adolf Eichmann, and Oscar Isaac, who is one of my favorite younger actors.
I know that name. Where have I seen him before?
You've seen him in Machina movie.
Could you get some medical attention for Rich?
He's a terrific actor. If you look up Oscar Isaac, and he's based on a real life character that tracked down Adolf Eichmann. I'm only giving the movie 2.5 stars though, Brian, because it's very formulaic. You feel like you've seen this movie a million times before.
And I know the trailers lie to us. I know the trailers are the true fake media. Let's be honest. I think this looks really good. It looks action packed. It looks edge of my seat.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It really lags for a long time in the center, and then it does feel like it's really been given the Hollywood treatment. They kind of crowbar in a romance that we don't need. Kingsley's amazing to watch.
Yeah, he's
of course.
Good.
So if it's the kind of movie, if it shows up on your queue at home in the next couple of months, give it a try. Now I do want to tell you about a couple of other movies. There's one called The Little Stranger, which is a very creepy and very effective movie. I'll start off by saying I'm giving this one 3.5 stars.
Wow.
The director is Lenny Abramson, who directed the movie Room a few years ago, which Brie Larson won the Academy Award for, and he's a terrific director. And this is the story. Here's another name for you. You've got some Irish blood in you. This is an actor by the name of Donal Gleeson. It's D O M Gleason, N-H-A-L-L, but I believe it's pronounced Donald. He's the son of Brendan Gleason, who's a great actor.
I know, sure.
So, and this guy was actually in the Harry Potter movies. So he plays this, he's Dr. Faraday, and he goes to an English mansion in the 1940s that had been once a grand castle, almost like the Downton Abbey estate, but it now has fallen on disrepair. And he's a commoner, has become a doctor. Now he's treating a few of the family members who still live there. And Charlotte Rampling is the matriarch of this family. And
she's always good when it's creepy. When there's creepy, she's really good.
And Ruth Wilson, for people who've watched the Showtime series, The Affair.
Yes.
She's one of the stars of The Affair. She plays the daughter. And this Dr. Faraday, he visits to try to help out the family. But then things start happening. Strange noises in the middle of the night. A dead little girl suddenly maybe reappearing. People flying through windows and hanging from rafters. And it could be that there's a ghost in the haunted halls of this large estate. Or... is something else at work. And I don't want to say anything other than that.
No, don't.
Other than to say this movie will give you the heebie-jeebies.
Wow.
But it's really well, very well done, based on a novel, yes.
Let me ask you about horror movies or scary movies like this. Because some people are really affected by this.
Yes.
And I'm not... they don't really bother me. Like, these kind of scary movies, I will enjoy them.
Yes.
But it doesn't stay with me. It doesn't frighten me. I
get what you're saying.
I watched it for the first time the other night. The newer one. With everybody... Oh, it's so... And it was good. I liked it. But it didn't haunt my dreams.
Well, that's because you have no soul.
Well, that's true, too. But, you know, is that the only reason?
No, I will say this. So this movie... No, I get what you're saying. And, like, I was never a big fan of the torture porn, as they used to call it, which is all about the blood spattering. But if it's really well done, and this is not, I don't want to say it's a horror movie, I want to say it's a chilling thriller. Now, there's one coming out next week. Have you seen the ads for The Nun?
All right, that jump take that they do, that's scary. But it scares me once. Is the whole movie, well, you'll talk about it next week. We can't talk about it.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. And then very quickly, I want to tell you about a movie called An Actor Prepares. The great Jeremy Irons plays a great multiple Academy Award winning actor, and so he's very good at it. And then it's the obligatory and Jack Houston, who comes obviously from Hollywood royalty. His grandfather was Walter Houston.
Yeah.
His aunt is Angelica Houston. Jack Houston. He was in Boardwalk Empire. He was the sniper with the face. Yeah,
with the face.
Really good actor. So he plays Jeremy Irons' son. And of course, he's the estranged son because his father was always out womanizing and winning awards. And now they go on a road trip because it could be that dad is dying. Now, we've seen the story a million times before, but it's so great just watching Jeremy Irons play Jeremy Irons.
Yeah,
so that's a fun one. I think it might already be available video on demand. So if you see An Actor Prepares, 3 stars for that one.
Did you have a clip from
this
one?
I think we might have a clip. Do we have a clip of Jeremy? We do.
Fantastic.
Let's listen.
All right.
You don't look that bad. You look like Osama bin Laden's...
It's a beard.
No.
You in pain?
You have a heart attack. It's like being shot in the chest with a fat person.
Can you just answer from a scale of 1 to 10 instead of absurd metaphors?
Absurd? Look, I was in Morocco shooting Love in the Sands, and I saw a 400-pound Arab being shot out of a cannon at a circus.
How did it happen?
Well, I don't know. Maybe he climbed up a ladder, or perhaps they lowered him in on a crane. I mean,
it's not talking about
30 years ago, for sake.
How
do I remember?
Major arterial blockage.
So what, is he dying?
Excuse my French, but why don't you go yourself?
It's great. Isn't it great? What's the name? Jeremy Irons, just be Jeremy Irons. You know?
That was what we were talking about. Older people swearing is always hilarious.
Oh, yeah. And he looks fantastic. You know, he looks every bit the movie star with the sunglasses.
Did he have an ascot in that scene?
Yes,
I picture him in the hospital bed
as the ascot. He absolutely does. Well played, my friend. So 3 stars for An Actor Prepares.
Wow.
If you want to see, if you just really like to see, I love when these guys like Jeremy Irons, who could do anything or not, never work again. And he just basically sounds like his character from The Lion King
there.
Exactly. He's just going to be this wonderful villain, and you can tell he's having so much fun with this part. So it's a lot of fun.
Very nice. We got to take a quick break. I want to talk to you about something we talked about before it came out, and now it is over.
Okay.
And so we will talk about that when we come back. Richard Roper is here. Judy, what are you going to be talking about when we come to you at 5 o'clock or thereabouts?
Well, protesters say they'll walk on the Kennedy near O'Hare. Illinois State Police say nuh-uh.
Monday morning, Dave Plyer will be in for Steve Cochran. And They'll be doing all sorts of things. I don't have that in front of me. So we... Yeah, oh, Rose, who's going to join him? Oh, Mike Rowe, sure, from Dirty Jobs. Mike Rowe is going to be there.
There you go.
Yeah, sure. I don't know. Richard Roper's joining me, which is always fun. So Rich is here, and we were talking about not a lot of movies this week, but good numbers for Little Stranger. You liked that one a lot?
Yeah, Little Stranger.
And you liked An Actor Prepares.
Yeah, and I think we should also note that Crazy Rich Asians is poised for another... maybe $28 to $30 million weekend. It'll be the third biggest Labor Day weekend they're projecting in recent movie history. And it's really great to see because this is a film that had one of the smallest drop-offs from week one to week two in recent motion picture history. Because movie opens big, and then it'll be a drop-off of anywhere from 40 to 70%.
It's
like a 6% drop-off because the word of mouth. And it's just a fun, you know, beautifully filmed, you know, cool romance, and as you know, we've talked about this, the first Asian-centric mainstream Hollywood movie since The Joy Luck Club 25 years ago.
Seems a long time.
Yeah, and it proves once again that, you know, Hollywood misses the boat on a lot of things. But it's a lot of fun. I really enjoyed the movie.
Okay, so it's as good as my daughter raved
cast.
About it.
Yeah,
she loved it.
One of the things I like about it is you can take your mom, you can take your daughter, you can take, and you know, for guys, it's not like, oh God, this is a chick flick. It's just a fun romance. Right. And some of the best-looking people in the world and some of the coolest locations in the world and cool music, and it's just an old-fashioned, you know, romance, really.
So that would be a good one if you've
absolutely
got
the enjoy Crazy Rich Asians. They've already started work pre-production on the sequel.
Now, do they do that before, you know, are they looking at this movie going, we think it's going to be big, we've already greenlit the sequel?
Yeah, well, you know, here's the thing, it's based on a trilogy of books, you know, three very popular novels, so it's perfectly set up, so they bought the rights to all three books. All of the actors signed on for all three movies. Henry Golding, who's the star of this movie, actually comes from a background as a travel host on international television. Wow. Not really an actor, but he's very good in it.
Okay.
And then Constance Wu from Fresh Off the Boat is wonderful.
Always funny.
Yeah,
she's always funny.
And Michelle Yeoh and Ken Jeong and lots of other actors. Aquafina.
Aquafina?
She's fantastic. Okay. Oh my God, she's so funny in this movie.
She's
a natural.
So she does a good job.
Yeah, and a tasty beverage, Aquafina.
Yes,
so there you go.
Ding, ding.
I like to see her in a movie with DeSanti at some point.
Oh, that would be nice. Look at you. All right, we got a couple more TV-ish kind of things we need to talk about. Before Very Cavalieri came on the air, you and I were in here together.
Yes.
And you were, you couldn't speak highly enough of, the droll Jay Cutler.
Campy fun.
Yes, the campy fun.
So, I don't know what this is about the state of our world, but I'm probably saying that it was my recaps became extremely popular.
Yes.
On the interwebs, but the clicks and all that to keep track of. So I'm in it for life, and they have renewed it now for season two.
I couldn't believe it.
Yes. Well, Jay Cutler was the breakout star because it was just fascinating watching him be exactly the guy we thought he was all those years in Chicago.
Yes.
But the other great thing, Brian, that I really love about this is Kristen Cavallari is such a boss. She's like, she is, you know, she's this businesswoman. And look, I get it. She's a reality star. But her little Uncommon James line of it's home goods and jewelry, like, okay, so the store launch goes off without a hitch. That's one of the plots. But then the website's screwed up.
Yes.
Now, here's somebody who, you know, lives in a $9 million mansion with her husband who made over $100 million in football, and she makes millions of dollars.
Oh, sure.
But she finds out that the shipping costs are too low and that they're losing money. And I got to tell you, this is great. So we've got a clip here. This is KCAV reading the riot act to her staffers.
Ooh.
Right. And then Shannon.
Yeah.
Your newsletter. Click the photo above and you can't click the photo above. That's a huge problem. On a launch day.
I know. I don't have the link if I don't know the link.
Well, then ask someone for the link.
Who do I ask?
Anybody. Ask
me.
Ask Brittany. Ask Jason. You guys, this wasn't a collection that launched. This was a whole new line.
I know.
Home Goods needed to have its moment. It got completely... Do you understand? I've worked my ass off for this thing.
Ruined the whole
Shannon,
moment.
Shannon, you can't click the photo to shop. That's a big deal. Don't act like it's not a big deal.
I'm not acting like it's not a big deal. I'm just...
That can't keep happening. Don't roll your eyes at me, Shannon. This is real. This is all real. So don't roll your eyes at me. This is a big deal. Can we close this door, please? I woke up this morning so excited to check the orders. Your newsletter went out and we had to take them off the website. That's so bad. That looks so bad on me because it all falls on me. It doesn't fall on you guys. I'm glad you're crying. I'm glad you give a. This is my whole world right now.
Wow.
And it got
this morning.
Wow. Now
I'm glad you're crying. I'm glad you bleep a bleep. Now
did
I have
Shannon
to
get fired?
No.
Oh come on.
No, Shannon. Shannon and Brittany and Taylor are all coming back. Oh my God, for season two. But we had to do a lot of research, and it took me this long. I finally found a clip of the F-bomb being dropped as often as it was. Not quite as often. Okay. Now, this is the most recent clip, and it's from 20-some years ago. This is the last time we could find an example of someone swearing this much.
All right.
You know, you're funny.
You mean, so? Let me understand this, because maybe it's me, I'm a little maybe. But I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you, I make you laugh, I'm here to fucking amuse you. What do you mean funny? Funny how? How am I funny?
Not just, you know how you tell a story? What?
No, I don't know. You said it. How do I know? You said I'm funny. How the f*** am I funny? What the f***?
So, like, I put it to you, sir.
Yes.
What would you be more frightened of? Joe Pesci in Goodfellas saying, what the f***? It's so funny. Or KCAP saying, don't roll your eyes at me, Shannon.
I'm going to have to go with KCAP because Joe Pesci, I know... You know, if he's this wound up, there's a good chance I've seen this before. Something horrible is going to happen. I expect it. With her, it's like, wow, where did this go? She's about to lose her mind.
We might have to just morph those two together for a mashup of Joe Pesci and KCAP.
Well, listen, I'm glad she's crying. I'm glad she gives an F.
Yeah, even Pesci didn't say, I'm glad you're crying, Henry. Yeah, I'm glad you're crying.
He started laughing.
Even
said,
he was
nicer.
Yeah, he finally said, you crack under protection. Watch it there.
Yeah. Wow. She was
amazing. Language. And Jay Cutt almost never swears. That the former NFL player swears once on the episode. She swore 49 times.
Wow. Well, listen, that's what she knows Shannon? How to move the needle. She knows you're going to get the, you're going to be talking about her. Once she goes after Shannon, things are going to get crazy. He doesn't seem like he is interested in anything.
No.
You know, the car line to pick up the kids, the tractor he wanted to buy that she shut down quickly, finding a job. He doesn't care.
Well, they finally bought a home in the country with a chicken coop.
Oh,
and the
good.
Chicken coop has a chandelier. I kid you not. And Kristen Cavallari said it was the coolest thing she's ever seen. She goes, the chickens are going to love it. And I'm not sure she understands the ultimate function of a chicken coop.
Yeah.
Because they might not. Also, they're not cartoon characters, so they probably won't notice the chandelier.
Yeah, they don't care. They're chickens. They're looking at the ground to see if they can eat something and waiting for that hatchet to drop on their neck. Richard Roper's here. Top 5 at 5 coming up after Judy's News, which comes up in 2 on WGN. Oh, my goodness. Brian Noonan in for Ro and Anna. They are enjoying their holiday weekend. Richard Roper is here. You've moved seats.
Yes, I'm making way because after we had Tom 5, and then we're going to have some Carnival, and we got some great music coming up, Brian.
I can't wait to hear Classics of Vinyl. They're coming in. They've got a big Hendrix show coming up, so we're going to have some great Hendrix stories. We're going to have some good tunes. This will be fun. You know what we're going to do now, though, Rich, because we forgot. We're going to give away people are going to the Blackhawks Training Camp Festival. Yes, we have a pair of tickets to go to the Blackhawks Training Camp Festival. If you're a caller, 19.
19.
Yeah, we go 19. It's easy.
Okay.
And haggy. 312-981-7200. Yes, these are brought to you courtesy of Mathnasium. Have you gone and worked out at the Mathnasium?
I know about the Mathnasium. Sure. We saw them actually at the Blackhawks convention. The fine folks were out there
near
the WGN booth.
Yeah, they were right across from you guys.
It was great
to see them. Change lives through math.
They really do. It's very cool.
Buy tickets at ChicagoBlackhawks.com or call Ticketmaster at 800-745-3000.
Do you know we're less than 3 weeks away from a Blackhawks preseason game.
I know.
Can you believe that?
And now we've got the
Northwestern
Sox,
football
Northwestern
last night
football.
We had here on the big 720. Starting.
There's so much sports here. I don't know
Fantastic.
What we're
going
to do. Kopech night. Kopech day.
Kid K.
Are you going? Is this
I might work my way up there. Oh, yeah. Well, as a lifetime, huge White Sox fan.
No, it's great to see.
And, the future, as Kevin and I have been talking about all summer, I mean, it's coming soon. All the pieces are starting to get into place, and some of the pitchers who struggled earlier in the year are starting to really find their groove.
And Rick is good about getting more prospects. He picked up a couple prospects today from Milwaukee, so you build that farm system.
I mean, since the All-Star break, they're, Kev, a little bit over 500, I think, right?
Yeah, they've won 10 of 14, something like that.
A fun team to watch. I love the spirit of that team.
Yeah.
I really do. I love the way the kids love to play. So
this is a, this is a good time. Yeah, yeah. All right, we got it. I'm getting, you know the guys over there. They're yelling.
Hey, listen, if this was Roe, we'd still be in the 4 o'clock hour talking about movies. So.
I understand. Listen, you know Brian and Jeff, they are taskmasters, and they figure, you know, they figure they can boss me around.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'll do this.
Okay, there we go.
We'll start. Let's go. You happy now?
Now, all right. It's the top 5 at 5 of the Rocon Show with
Top 5 at 5.
Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Get on with it.
Get on with it because, you know. You know how these guys are. I can't. Taskmasters. All right, let's do it.
Number five.
Many high-profile public figures are in attendance at Aretha Franklin's funeral in Detroit today, and the Reverend Al Sharpton was among those who spoke. If you remember, Mr. Sharpton flubbed his tribute to Aretha on his show last week.
So, in the words of my late friend Aretha Franklin, show some respect.
All right. Well, maybe he needed a spelling nasium to help him out. He took a moment today to reflect on his mistake.
A lot of y'all corrected me. Now I want y'all to help me correct President Trump to teach him what it means. And I say that because when word had went out that Miss Franklin passed, Trump said she used to work for me. No, she used to perform for you. She worked for us. Aretha never took orders from nobody but God.
All right.
What?
I don't know. Reverend Jesse Jackson also got political during his comments on Aretha.
I was here for the Rosa Parks funeral. And watched long lines at the museum for Rosa Parks. Long lines for Aretha, long lines today. If we have long lines to celebrate death and short lines for voting, we lost Michigan by 11,000 votes. 100,000 Detroit unregistered. Long lines at the death of the icons and short lines for voting, something is missing.
He's got a point. And that speech took a lot out of him. If you saw the pictures of Ariana Grande, yes, he was. He looked
but Bill
very
Clinton
tired.
Stayed at attention the whole
well,
time.
Well, sure. Bill was
listen, I think it was absolutely,
go.
It was a glorious service.
It was.
And you know, previously, you know, the John McCain tributes were beautiful and heartfelt and wonderful and obviously deserved in two different types of American heroes.
Yeah, and when you know, no matter what you think of Jesse Jackson, he has a point.
He does
there.
Have a point. Yeah.
That's a good point. If
yeah.
People were saying, oh, yeah, they were lining up for hours and hours, and, you know, we could feel, well, then, you know, take a couple minutes and go 11, vote.
11,000 votes, Michigan.
Yeah, that's it. We continue with
number four.
You want to take this one?
Sure. I'll do this one. During Securing America's Retirement event in Charlotte, North Carolina today, President Trump expanded on his off-the-records comments made to Bloomberg during an interview in the Oval Office. And his comments with Bloomberg, as reported by the Toronto Star newspaper, Trump says he wasn't willing to compromise with Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's government on NAFTA, but he still wouldn't say that publicly.
I gave a totally off-the-record, you saw it, it said off-the-record, and I said something strong. But it's my belief. And they violated it. And they said they were violating it. It's unbelievable what's happening with the fake news. It's unbelievable. When you say off the record, that's a very, it's not a legal term, but it's a term of honor.
Says the guy who used to impersonate his own spokesperson and call reporters.
Yeah, I don't know if you should be throwing around the word of honor. And I don't know if the president can be off the record. If you're talking about a policy that you made, a decision you made that affects the country based on another country, unless, you know, if you're with a reporter, you got to figure nothing's off the record.
Yeah.
If you're the president, right? Come on.
He didn't deny it. That's the other thing. So
right.
There you go.
Oh, we have a bonus cut.
So when I say off the record, here's the story. In order really to save time, I don't want to waste a lot of time. And then they say, they actually printed my off the record. They said, President Trump said, off the record, and then they go on to this. I said, this is a first. These are very dishonorable people. But I said, in the end, it's okay, because at least Canada knows how I feel. So it's fine.
Well, then why didn't you just have the guts to say exactly. it? You knew it was getting out. Man. Don't hide behind, it was off the record. You knew it was going to get out, and you said it. And if it's your belief, like you said, then stand behind it.
And they're almost being honorable by telling you this was off the record.
Right. They said, well, we're giving it to them. All right. We will finish the top five at five after we find out, one, what is happening with Judy at the bottom of the hour.
40 building code violations against the owner of a home where 10 children died in a fire.
All right, this traffic report is sponsored by the Illinois Department of Transportation. With all the trouble spots, it's Violetta. All right, we are in the midst of the top five at five, and if my memory serves me, we are on
number three.
That is correct. With no advance fanfare, Eminem released a surprise album using the opening track to address the aftermath of last year's freestyle rap on the BET Hip Hop Awards aimed at President Trump and his supporters. In The Ringer, the opening track of the new album, he pulls no punches.
But if I could go back, I'd at least reword it and say I empathize with the people. This evil serpent sold a dream to the beast deserted. But I think it's working, these verses. I'm making him a wee bit nervous, and he's too scared to answer me with words, cause he knows that he will lyrically get murdered. But I know at least he's heard it, cause Agent Orange just sent the Secret Service to meet in person to see if I really think of hurting him or ask if I'm linked to terrorists. I said only when it comes to ink and lyricists. But my beef is more media journalists.
Uh-oh.
Hey, wait a minute.
He's got a beef. Well, because his last album did not do well. It was not well received. People criticized it. But from what I read the review of this album today. This one, they can't say enough good things about Slim Shady.
They're calling him the GOAT.
Yes.
Greatest of all time. Right up there. He is great.
He can drop Skurd in a rhyme, I'm good.
Agent Orange and all that kind of good stuff.
I like Eminem.
I don't like the murder stuff, though.
Lyrically, stuff? I think he said the one lyrically murder.
Yes, he's not going to really murder anybody.
No,
that's what if you listen to his older stuff. That's what he's got the crews for. The crews Marshall go out and Mathers. Do his dirty work.
Yes,
Marshall Mathers.
There you go.
Here we go. Number two.
Number two.
Please, by all means.
All right, the Green Bay Packers have agreed with the great Aaron Rodgers on a record-breaking contract worth a reported $134 million. That will keep him with the team until he turns 40. This makes Aaron Rodgers the highest-paid player in NFL history. More than $100 million guaranteed over the next 4 years. Rodgers will average $33.5 million annually in new money and all kinds of incentives. And another Packer great, his predecessor, Brett Favre, waited on the deal.
You know, I'm sure he would probably say the same thing. I don't know if anybody is worth that. But if there is one person who's worth it, it would be Aaron. Guys, you know, he is a playmaker. He is fun to watch. And it's one of those things, you know, where whether you like him or not, you can't deny that he's entertaining. The longer he plays, the more you would assume he's going to accumulate numbers that are going to be astounding. Not that he hasn't already. So I think when it's all said and done, he's a top five player all time, regardless of position. And he quite frankly, could be there right now.
Does it seem like for the every time Brett Favre would give a compliment, there'd be a little something there?
He's like, if you don't like him, sort of like a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, first of all, I think Aaron Rodgers is a terrific guy, and he is a top five quarterback, I think, of all time. And in a way, even though he's had some injuries, he's kind of a young 34 because, of course, he sat for a few years waiting for Brett Favre to play out the string. Way. So, you know, there were 3 or 4 years there where he didn't get hit at all.
Yeah.
So,
and that's why you think... You're right. Young 34. You go. Is he? He's only 34.
Yeah.
It seems like he's been around forever. So he should be like 54.
He's a world talent. That's for sure.
Good for him.
Talent.
And listen, you know,
absolutely.
You know who's worth it? A guy who can get it. So
absolutely.
If he can get it, good for him. All right, let's wrap it up.
Number one.
Number one. I'm uncomfortable with this first phrase. Just so you know.
Okay.
A guy who jacked a truck. On an L.A. freeway this morning, wanted cops to know he wasn't packing heat. This very street, I feel
wow.
Like, yeah.
Okay. Eminem.
I'm down and dirty. I'm dropping a rhyme. The truck jacker was darting across, but then I say darting across lanes. Buck naked.
Oh, I love his work.
I do too. He was one of my favorite country singers. on the 101 freeway at East LA, this after cops spotted the truck and gave chase. He stunned motorists who were driving to work at around 6 a.m. He eventually got off the freeway as police and TV news choppers followed him. He was eventually caught. The funniest part, L.A. stations covered the chase live.
Impact on the 101 freeway nearby here. But all right, there he goes again. He's off and running now onto an on-ramp there on the 101. He's moving at a good clip. I'll tell you, he's a pretty fast runner here. Although there's nothing really to slow him down. No friction from the clothing or shoes at this time.
And if he's not wearing any shoes, I don't even know how he could do that. This is pretty rough terrain to be running around on with no shoes.
It sure is. He was kind of directing traffic. Slow down for me.
Imagine those drivers.
Yeah.
You know, you're trying to wake up.
An awakening, yes.
And
we'll wake you up.
You've done live TV, Rich. It's not as easy as it looks.
No, it is not. And I will say that. But did they know they're on television? They sound like four people in a bar watching it on TV.
Yeah, you're supposed to be telling us what's happening.
Yeah, they're like, oh, look at that. Well, no, you tell us. Well, you know, Los Angeles, of course, you know, they invented the helicopter coverage. In fact, Katie Tour, you know, the NBC correspondent, her parents actually pioneered that whole thing. They actually, believe it or not, her parents, they were news correspondents, and they bought a helicopter and started doing that freelance in the late 60s, early 70s, and actually invented the helicopter coverage, live coverage.
Well,
so there you go.
Cool.
There's your little, factoid right there.
I like that little trivia, a little edutainment
just
right
for
there.
You.
I liked it. The female anchor sounded very puzzled. She didn't, maybe... Yeah. You know, granted, the sight of a naked man that early in the morning can be, you know, a little off-putting. I do agree, though. I don't know how you run barefoot in the streets.
I think that
doesn't matter.
The least of your concerns. The balls of your feet is the least of your concern.
All right, we'll leave it at the of your feet.
The top five at five.
To alcohol, the cause of and solution to all of life's problems.
Yeah! Drink, man, I'm gonna get gas. Gonna get high, man, I ain't had enough. Need me a triple shot of that stuff. Gonna get drunk, won't you listen right here. I want one bourbon, one shot, and one beer. One bourbon, and one shot, one beer.
Tastes great, makes women appear more attractive, and makes a person virtually invulnerable to criticism.
Alcohol is a way of life. Alcohol is my way of life. And I aim to keep it.
Find it, buy it, make it. I don't care. Just get me some booze and fast.
I can't take this much longer. I gotta have a beer.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
The president is on the phone. Enrique? Yeah, you can hook him up. A lot of people waiting. Hello? Do you want to put that on this phone, please? Hello?
Hello. Is it me you're looking for?
It always is you that I'm looking for, Lionel. They say to me, Brian, do you want to fill in for Rowan Ann? And I say, what day? And they say, Friday. And I say, of course I want to come in, because Friday means the Carnarvon Wagon, which is sponsored by It's Just Lunch. Richard Roper is here.
Happy to be here. Thank
as
you.
Are the folks from Whiskey Thief Tavern.
Yes.
Executive Chef Sam Engelhardt is with us. Oh, we welcome Sam. Good to see you, Sam. And thanks for bringing in all the treats. So Whiskey Thief Tavern is a 616 Davis Street in Evanston. Tell it, what's your story, Sam? How long has Whiskey Thief been there? Why Evanston? What's your deal?
We've been up there for about 3 years now, and the focus is kind of old Chicago, and bring a bit of like what the food that you're able to get downtown Chicago to the suburbs, and give them, you know, some place they can go that they don't necessarily have to travel as far for. The theme of the space is, yeah, we have a lot of TVs and stuff like that, and we do late at night on Fridays and Saturdays we do have DJs, but we want it to be something that you could bring, you know, your wife to and your family to, and still enjoy it, and there'd be something there for them. So that's where we try to take the food and the cocktails as well.
Yeah, nice homey type feel. You even got like a library there. Is that true, Mike?
Yeah, you're near Northwestern. Kind of,
I love that. Yeah, well, books. Exactly. And if you don't mind, Brian, I'd like to ask Sam if we can just start with the cocktails,
yes,
and then we'll work our way to the entrees.
Yeah,
right? Tell us what you've got here. We got some, and we'll be posting stuff on all our social media. But you got some beautiful looking drinks here, Sam.
So we've got the maple old fashioned. With a Rittenhouse rye, ancho rye, chili liqueur, maple syrup, and a spiced syrup as well. Ooh. And there's a...
And which one is this? Is this one
that's the one with the spiced sugar rim there.
Yeah, that looks like a beauty.
I love a good old-fashioned.
I'm going to give this a try. Subtle.
And you brought... Here's what I like, Rich. Sam could have come in with just a plastic solo... No, he brings in crystal... Old-fashioned glasses.
This has got nice little combo of aromas and flavors there, Sam.
Trying to bring the experience to you.
Thank you. This feels like something if you were in a Dickens novel, you'd have a drink like this, near the fireplace. It's got a nice, robust flavor. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Whiskey has, in the last, 5-10 years, whiskey is really coming back. Everybody's talking about whiskey now and old-fashioned classic cocktails. And is that kind of what you guys are going for with your whiskey focus?
Yeah, I mean, we do have our own takes on classic drinks, but we want to keep it in the vein of familiarity. Mm-hmm. We don't want to scare anyone off. Give them something new to try, but nothing offensive or nothing inaccessible.
Are a lot of people drinking offensive things?
Is it a lot of when you're trying to put up come up with a new little spin, is it a little bit of trial and error to you and some of the other guys sitting
trial
around,
and
some
error
of the other
the
staffers kind of like, okay, let's try this, let's, you know.
Exactly. Usually someone will work on a drink first time, sometimes it's a hit, but that's not usually the case. Usually it's first time, it's not that good, and you kind of keep working on it. And, it could take months to come up with a drink, depending upon,
Is it hard to then bring that drink to market? Because people have an idea of an old-fashioned when they order it. And this one, the drink itself is sublime, but the rim gives it a whole different feel.
I love that,
I do too, but it's something
I
haven't had before.
Stays with you.
Is it hard to convince some people that, hey, listen, yes, it's going to be a little bit different, but trust us, you're going
to
really
it. That's the thing, is you just have to have them trust you. And if someone's hesitant on it, it's like, go ahead, try it. You don't like it, it's on me.
Yeah.
Nice, but, okay.
That usually
takes a lot of the pressure off of everybody then, right?
Exactly.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. Okay. Tell me again what was on that rim. I'm sorry, Rich, but I'm fascinated by this now.
It's a salt, sugar, a little bit of ancho chili.
That's right.
I love that.
Yeah. So it's got a small amount of spice to it.
Very nice. Okay.
And what are the other? All right. What else we have?
You have the Thief, one of our signature drinks. It's made with larceny, weeded whiskey, some pink vermouth, sherry, spiced syrup, and some Earl Grey bitters.
What's the difference of a pink vermouth? I've never heard that.
Pink vermouth? Well, I'm the executive chef. I'm not the bartender. So I'd have to call in one of those.
I think the difference is that it's pink.
Pink. Could be that it's pink.
This is really nice.
It's smooth. Yeah.
It's a grown-up's drink. But it's got a nice, goes down smoothly, nice little aftertaste. Very enjoyable.
No, I like this. I like the So
all righty
so
then.
Good. I can't wait
two
till we get
two.
To
for, right, yeah, two for Sammy. Two. Sammy, this we're two
the,
for two.
This is the Thief. We're not going to ask you anymore. You can just tell us what's in it.
Sure.
You can look at Sam. He's like, can we please talk about the food? I'm the chef. I know all about the food.
It's just like when you go there. You want to have a couple of cocktails, and then you decide what you're going to try.
Like, no, I do.
And so the third and final drink, Sam?
Mason County Mule. So the first two were kind of more fall, entering fall drinks. And then the Mason County Mule is kind of great for Labor Day weekend. A little bit more summery.
Yes.
Ooh. And make it with Evan Williams, some lemon juice, ginger syrup, a bit of peach puree, and some mint.
Yeah. I love the mint.
The fresh mint.
And you're right. It has that nice late summer refreshing. And we're still getting days in the 80s. So, something like this.
Yeah, let's not give up on summer just yet, fellas.
we still got some time.
I do like the lemony flavor. And it is. It's very refreshing.
It's terrific. It's terrific.
The one thing I will say about this drink, I can see this getting me in trouble. Because this is you're out on the patio, right?
Yeah.
You have one and you go, oh, it's fantastic. So light. So light and breezy. Maybe I'll have a couple dozen more. All right. We should, let's take a quick break. Because
we'll
then we're going
to
get into the food.
All right.
That gives it. Well, this way we're not. We can go breakfast, lunch, dinner all in one fell swoop.
Yeah, we do have that here.
The Whiskey Thief Tavern is at 616 Davis Street in Evanston. WhiskeyThiefTavern.com is their website. If you're on Instagram or Twitter, and why wouldn't you be? It's Whiskey Thief CHI. That is their handle. I know Rich is putting some stuff out.
Yeah, I'm going to post some stuff.
We'll have the pictures. I already posted pictures of the delicious food.
I like doing that too because people get to see what they're not having while we're we're getting paid to have it, which is really the best job of radio.
It's like we're royalty, where we let them eat cake while we're drinking cocktails and fine dining.
It gets people thinking, you know what? They're thinking, I got to get to 616 Davis Street, Evanston. You know, that's a great area, and the Whiskey Thief Tavern in just a couple of years has really established itself there as well.
So get up there. We'll talk more with Sam Englehart in just a minute. But first, Judy Pilak is going to do the news at 6 o'clock, allegedly. What will you talk about, Judy?
The president talking about being politically correct.
Dave Plyer is in for Steve Cochran on Monday. Tuesday is the first day of school for CPS, and Janice Jackson, the CEO of Chicago Public Schools, will join Dave at 7:20. She'll address the recent test scores and school safety and combating violence in the city. That's classic moments in vinyl that you just heard bounce back there. They're going to be... No? Oh, that's the T's. Oh, T's classic moments in vinyl coming up after 6 o'clock. They've got, listen, I don't know, they've got a big Jimi Hendrix show coming up September 11th, and they will be joining us for an in-studio performance after. But we are in the midst, and Richard Roper is like, get to the point, because Richard's here.
I started eating already, man.
Great moments in vinyl. The whiskey, they're yelling in my ear. I got too much to deal with. Stop it. Just stop it. I'll handle it.
I snipped that wire 3 years ago. I never hear anything they say in that control booth.
The Whiskey Thief Tavern is here. That's what we're focused on right now. After 6 o'clock, I'll focus on music. Right now, I'm focused on food and booze from the Whiskey Thief Tavern, 616 Davis Street in Evanston. Mm-hmm. WhiskeyThiefTavern.com, of course, is the website. Sam Englehart is the executive chef. We have discussed fabulous drinks. We have an old-fashioned. We had the Thief, which is another whiskey drink. And then a mule. Which kind of mule, Sam?
Mason County Mule.
Mason County Mule, which was a delicious, lighthearted drink. But let's turn our attention to the food. This is where your soul actually takes to the plate as the executive chef. You guys are open for lunch, dinner, brunch. You got it all.
Yeah, we do brunch on Saturday and Sunday, and lunch on Friday. Dinner every day of the week.
Nice. And what did you bring us? Because it looks fantastic.
So I tried to stick with whiskey themed dishes. So
nice.
Our French toast, which does have whiskey in the batter.
Nice.
That's a sentence I never thought I'd hear.
Sure.
I've stuck with whiskey themed dishes.
So there's a little whiskey right baked
right
into it.
Oh,
right,
yeah.
We cook off the alcohol, so it is safe for
the kids can have it.
Kids can have it, yeah.
What if I want my kids to fall asleep right after brunch? Can you leave it in there?
I mean, you can ask for that.
Okay,
you know.
Fantastic.
We're more than willing to appease.
And you've got it draped in blueberries.
Yes, and strawberries.
Yeah, fantastic. Blueberries, strawberries, some blackberries.
Love the blackberries with the French toast. That's a nice combo right there.
And what kind of bread do you use? Does it make a difference?
I think it does. And we use a brioche bread, mm-hmm. and then we kind of crust it in a little bit of a like toasted rice flour.
Ooh.
So keeps the outside a little bit crispy, and then real light and fluffy on the inside.
Very nice.
Simple, but we're trying to focus on just like executing quality.
I like that.
Does the syrup have whiskey in it as well?
No, I'm a hardcore traditionalist on
nice.
Straight 100% maple syrup.
Good man.
Very nice. That's how it should be.
Yeah.
All right, so you've got that beautiful brunch dish, mm-hmm. some nice French toast with berries and real maple syrup, and then the dish that brought Kevin running from the sports department. He heard two words. He heard pork and chop, and he was down
Chicago,
here.
Right?
Yeah. Man, he was ready to go.
Yeah. So it's a Korobuta pork chop. It's just a high quality. It's kind of like the Wagyu of pork.
Oh, wow. Nice.
So a lot more tender and just really good intermuscular fatting.
Oh, God, you're killing me here.
Yeah, isn't that the thing, though, Sam? With pork chops, there's a lot of mediocre pork chops out there.
Oh, yeah.
Not well done, but executed correctly, it can be, you know, such a great, you know.
Well, everybody thinks they can do it.
White meat. Yeah, exactly.
And they're wrong.
Well, same thing with French toast, you know?
Sure.
Every idiot that you spent your first overnight with, oh, I got my French toast. It's my specialty. And it's like, no,
how do you spot a good pork chop? Because I think beef people always look at the ratio. Show of like how much fat's on it or how tender does it look. What do you look for out of us? If someone went to a butcher and wanted some pork chops, what would be a couple of tips you would give them?
The first thing is to look at the source. You know, where are they getting that pig from? Like, what's the breed of the pig? And what kind of, are there any hormones used in the raising of it? And, you know, those are the things I always start with first, because like I want to make sure it's healthy and like safe to eat to start. And then as far as like how the quality of like how it tastes, that's going to be something you're going to have to try out and get to know your butcher.
Yeah.
Guess I'm just going to have to eat some more pork, figure out what I like.
Come on by during the break, Kev. We got one.
Come on,
we got one for you, buddy.
All right. See.
Thanks, guys.
And what's the, you know, sometimes you'll see pork chops, they're not coming on the bone. Yours come on the big bone, the big, hearty pork chop. What is there, flavor-wise, does that enhance the flavor of the meat when you leave it on the bone like that?
It does. And I personally kind of like the primal aspect of being able to chew on the bone afterwards.
Yeah. I like that, too.
That's just me.
You hold it up Fred Flintstone style exactly. And get all the meat off.
There's something absolutely primal. You look at that. Yes. You look at a pork chop and you realize this is something going back, you know, tens and thousands and millions of years has been a food of choice.
Yes. Yeah. And you have dressed it with, it looks like from my vantage point, apples and a nice sauce.
So we glazed it with apples and a jus that has a little bit of apple cider vinegar, also a touch of maple syrup, and some rosemary on top as a garnish. It is marinated with some rosemary, too, just to kind of keep that flavor throughout.
Nice.
How long do you marinate before you...
Overnight.
Before you cook. Overnight. Oh, okay. Okay. Very nice. Okay. And then you have a shrimp dish that looks phenomenal. And I've noticed Rich has pulled that plate closer and closer to him.
No, I've already actually had a couple.
I was able to snag one of those shrimp, and they're unbelievable.
Yeah, I would honestly say one of the tastiest shrimp I've ever had.
My mouth is watering. So
tell Violetta us what you did here with this,
banging at the door. I have to get over there before...
This one's actually... It's actually not on the menu. We're running as a special tonight.
Oh. Nice.
And through the weekend, just for Labor Day. Mm. It's a... kind of our take on a shrimp de jong. So classic dish, but instead of using sherry or brandy or anything like that, we're opting for a whiskey. Went for a rye whiskey. It kind of lends itself a little bit of pepperiness to it and works pretty well.
It's fantastic, honestly.
Really, and so this terrific. Is the special. People will come into the Whiskey Thief tonight. They can order tonight only.
Yeah, tonight. If we
tonight, just a little, yeah. Just tonight. I understand, but maybe sometimes people do a special for a couple days.
If people like it enough, we'll keep it on. But tonight, possibly tomorrow. We'll
I like
see.
Sam that you're teasing people. You're making it's an immediacy
it's
of dining. Of dining
All good garden. Stuff.
And you serve it. You've got some. Is that
just
what's
some
the
toast? Some toast to some brioche toast, just to dip into the sauce.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And kind of that's the highlight of the dish is the sauce, which has the whiskey.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. It's terrific.
Yeah, you don't want to be trying to scoop that out with your finger.
Right.
Having to ask your server for a spoon so you can I slurp out my sauce?
Yeah. Ask for extra bread. That's
what would you say as you started putting the menu together for the Whiskey Thief Tavern? Did you have some sort of inspiration or somebody that something that you modeled it after? Is this some a theme that you were looking to bring?
Ooh, a theme. Well, I mean it is Whiskey Thief Tavern, so like the kind of We wanted to make sure it was a place that people could come there and get some of the best whiskeys and have like a massive variety of that.
Nice.
In and of that, you need to have food that kind of can attract all crowds to that. You know, it's not a dive bar. It's not some place that you go to get drunk on whiskey. It's a place you come in, get like a cocktail and kind of, appreciate
a nice
quality
meal.
Drink,
yeah.
You know? So we had to have food for that and
Makes sense.
Try to make it fit that environment.
And again, it's a nice neighborhood feel, nice tavern feel.
Yeah.
Come there for a date. Come there with your friends. The menu looks terrific. Brunch again is what days?
Saturday and Sunday.
Saturday and Sunday. Lunch on Friday.
Yep.
Dinner every day.
Yes, sir.
There you go.
Yeah, this is a good place if you're a student and you want to impress your date for the first. This is a good place to bring them and go. Hey, look, I'm not just a
there
chicken wing guy. a six pack of Pabst. I can take you somewhere nice. The Whiskey Thief Tavern, if you are anywhere near Evanston or even if you like to drive, you should get there. WhiskeyThiefTavern.com is the website. They're at 616 Davis Street in Evanston on Instagram and Twitter, Whiskey Thief CHI. Sam, thank you very much for coming in. This is great. Congratulations. 3 years going very well. That's where's the point where they say, okay, now you hear how tough the restaurant business is.
Oh, yeah.
Is there a window where you go, okay, now we can't coast now, but things are going well and we're confident?
I mean, I think if you have a good idea and stick with it and stay true to that, then you'll be fine.
Terrific. Well, it seems like you've done just that.
Thank you.
So thank you. We're going to enjoy. We're going to enjoy some more
it,
of this.
Good
I'm going to grab. I got to grab one of those shrimp before Violetta and Judy come storming
there
in.
You go.
So we're going to take a quick break. Judy's news in two. Again, it's WhiskeyThiefTavern.com. That's the website. Get to Evanston and enjoy some of Sam's fantastic cooking. We'll get to Judy in two on WGN. It would have been sacrilegious to jump in before the guitar kicked in. Brian Noonan in for Rowan Anna. They'll be back on Tuesday. That's Jimi Hendrix. You can't see Jimi Hendrix anymore. Rich Roper is here, by the way. You can't. We can't see Jimmy, but we can see an amazing facsimile. Great moments in vinyl. Who you've heard on Rowan Anna's show before. You guys have had them at the Saturday Night Live show and all kinds of stuff.
Just amazing, amazingly talented group of musicians. You name it. They can do it. And our good friend William Lindsay Cochran, everybody knows him. Yeah. Everybody knows Lindsay. And, you know, he does it all. In fact, I told him, he's like Forrest Gump. Every time I turn around, there he is.
Well, that's amazing. And hello, Lindsay. How are you?
Good. Good to meet you, Brian, finally. I see you way across a couple of studios over there.
I can kind of see somebody. We will talk soon. Yes, this is my first time with the new performance space.
Which is amazing, by the way. And we'll be posting some videos shortly, and people can go on WGN's website and see it, of course. You know.
So, Lindsay, you came up with this concept, not of being a tribute, because you do tributes, but it's a whole different kind of thing for people who aren't familiar with Great Moments in Vinyl. You'd not only do the music of a certain band, but you tell stories about the band.
And that's a practical thing. I mean, that was born out of seeing many shows where a band plays a song and then they break for about 2 minutes while they tune and get a beer. And suddenly the crowd is talking between themselves. And I figured, let's fill that space with something interesting. Yeah. Let's keep their attention. So I drew on my background as a radio guy. Lindsay Cochran when I'm playing music. Bill Cochran when I'm on the air.
Yeah, people know. You know the voice.
You've got
the famous voice.
You got the pipes. There's no doubt about it.
And he's got the notebook. He's got like notebooks of stories behind the songs.
I have to demonstrate for Brian my smooth jazz.
It's so great.
I like it.
Indeed.
Like
so anyway, I have all these stories about bands, and you find out what the music was, what was going on for the musicians, what they were thinking. Like there's a great Joni Mitchell song from, I think, the Hijira album, and she's talking about, oh, this friend of mine, she settled down, she's having a child, she chose this life in the suburbs. You come to find that same time, Joni had a child and put it up for adoption.
Wow.
We didn't know that till like 20, 30 years later. But suddenly, looking back in that song, it's like, oh my God, that wasn't just imagining. That was.
Yeah. It really has you listening to it and appreciating it on a whole different level when you hear the stories.
Right.
You know,
and there's no, I'm guessing there's no shortage of stories from bands. So it, no matter who you pick, you're going to have an unbelievable amount of tales to
tell. It's a treasure trove. I mean, when we get into the Hendrix stuff here, I've got some great Hendrix stories.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, we don't have time for that, sorry.
I love that. And, you know, well, of course, one of my favorites always, I always love to talk about, you know, of course, you know, the boss, Bruce Springsteen, he's taken it to the next level, as Lindsay knows, you know, with the Broadway show.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, when I used to see him back in the day, every story was basically about, you know, well, my old man and I, we didn't really get along. And then one day, you know, I went down to the draft board and my number was 370,000. And I came home and my dad said, how'd it go? And I said, I didn't get drafted. And he said, that's good. This song's called The River. And you just go, what?
What do you mean he brought a barber to your house to give you a haircut? That doesn't make any sense.
You want a Bruce story?
Sure. Yes, okay. Please, please.
A Bruce story. Let's see. So his girlfriend at the time, I forget her name. I don't know if it was Jane or something like that, but she asked him, why don't you write a song about me? And I think his comeback was, well, nothing rhymes with your name. But there's this woman.
I hope it wasn't Jane, because that really
was. Yeah, everything rhymes.
Bad example. But Rosalita. Rosalita wrote a song about a woman named Rosalita. So who was she? Well, apparently, he was dating a woman at the time. And what was her name? She had a grandmother who was named Rosa.
Okay.
And the last name was Lazito.
Okay.
Rosa Lazito.
I love
and
that.
And it mutated into Rosalita. It was a very simple way to take a great name and make a song around it. But it wasn't Jane.
All right. Well, yeah, Jane. Well, who's going to write a song about Jane? I guess, well, a lot of people
Jefferson
have.
Starship.
Yeah, I was going to say. I got it. All right.
Lou Reed.
Everybody, I got it. Pay attention.
Janie's got a shooter. I think it's one
Janie's
of Bruce's
got a
strong.
Gun. Aerosmith wrote one. All right. Oh, okay. Yeah. So now, do you, because every artist or every group that you do is so different, do you switch up the lineups? Is it the same people for every show? Or do you find there's some people who can really do these artists and other people who really do these ones better?
Well, let me brag on the guitarist we're working with today, Bill Grady, who did an amazing job being Dwayne Allman for us when we did the Allman Brothers Band last summer, about a year ago.
Yeah, still raves about that.
Really?
Yeah.
Came back and did Jimi Hendrix with us in January, so we're bringing that show to City Winery on the 11th of September. And then he was our David Gilmour when we did Pink Floyd's Side of the Moon.
Wow. So, talk about Hall of Fame, Hall of Fame, Hall of Fame. Yeah, really? Legend, legend, legend.
But now Bill is just amazing. And he said to me, like, I want to do the shows that are in my wheelhouse. And when it comes time to do, say, the Rolling Stones or the Beatles, I call Phil Angotti, who's a great talent
sure.
in town.
Nice.
He loves that 60s and 70s pop and rock. So nice. He's great for those shows. We got a David Bowie show coming up. We got a Beatles White Album show coming up. We've got a Moody Blues show coming up.
Oh, God, that's amazing.
That's gonna be terrific.
And, you know, Brian, you listen to, you know, who Lindsay's talking about there. These guys, they do not shy away. We're talking about,
yeah, they're not,
you know,
not, only, easy group.
Not only some of the greatest bands, but some of the, you know, most complex and unique music. You know, look at the Moody Blues.
Oh,
my
yeah.
goodness.
You can't layer,
you know,
all that stuff. And this is not for the faint of heart.
And I keep lobbying him when they do the Moody Blues. I just want to do the Breathe Deep, the Gathering Gloom. Just that.
Richard, yeah. do you want to do that?
We could have a guest.
Yes.
Wow. I would so do that.
You could do all the Graham Edge.
Was that Graham Edge that was the narrator of that?
His poetry.
Yes.
No, actually, it was Mike Pinder.
Mike Pinder.
Believe it or not.
Yeah, yeah.
We're getting esoteric.
Oh,
we're
my gosh.
Getting deep in. But
the cool thing, too, I got to say, too, you know, the Hendrix thing is, you guys now, it's the three of you, because that was one of the most incredible things about the Jimi Hendrix experience, right? What they could get out of just, you know, the three dudes.
Well, let's hear a song before we take a break, because we're doing a lot of talking and we want to hear some rock. And Great Moments in Vinyl has a Jimi Hendrix show September 11th at City Winery. You can go to greatmomentsinvinyl.com, get your tickets at City Winery. What are you going to start us off with?
Purple Haze.
Purple Haze, of course, on WGN.
Oh,
Nicely done. Great moments in vinyl. Their big Jimi Hendrix show is coming up at the City Winery on September 11th at 8 o'clock. GreatMomentsInVinyl.com. We'll talk more with the guys and hear more Jimi Hendrix music in just a minute. But first, we must find out what Judy will be talking about at the bottom of the hour.
Wow, that's hard to follow.
Yeah, follow that, Judy.
A warm, wet summer.
Pat Tomasulo of WGN-TV Morning News got his own comedy show. Holy cow! Saturday nights in Chicago are never going to be the same. Man of the People, Saturdays at 10 on WGN-TV. All right. We're here. Richard Roper is here. Ro and Ann are not here, but they will be back on Tuesday. Great Moments in Vinyl is here. They are in the performance space. I cannot wait to wander in there. A fantastic version of Purple Haze. Mm-hmm. Congratulations, you guys.
I like the little bump music we're just playing. Who knows? That's one of the songs that was in our encore back
no
in
kidding.
January.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Very good.
We're mixing it up for this show, though, the City Winery one.
The City Winery show is September 11th at 8 o'clock. Now, sometimes you'll do complete albums or two albums.
Right.
And we only have about 30 seconds. But here's the good news.
Yeah.
Just because we go off to Sox baseball, we're going to podcast. We're going to stay with Great Moments in Vinyl.
Yeah, absolutely.
Until 7 o'clock or maybe a little longer. And we will podcast the whole thing. So just because you're listening to baseball, don't think, why did we get to hear more music?
We're going
to
keep the party going.
Yeah, so you'll be able to hear more of Great Moments in Vinyl. In fact, we're not even going to talk to you guys anymore right now because we got a network out. And listen, I love you. GreatMomentsInVinyl.com is the website. September 11th, 8 p.m. City Winery. They're playing Jimi Hendrix. It's going to be fantastic. And now it is time to say we have to do this, and then it'll be news time, and then it'll be baseball. Kid K is pitching tonight, Rich.
Mm-hmm.
Very
That's
exciting.
Right.
All right. Thanks for listening. All right. Brian Noonan in for Rowan Adam. Richard Roper is here, as we are always happy. I really am. I know people say that. I'm always really happy when you come in when I'm here. It's very exciting. Did you change mics again? There you go.
I know what I have to do here. I have to go.
I don't know. Jeff came
here,
in.
And then I go there.
Jeff turned everything off.
Stand by.
But I'm going to say first off.
Watch me. Join
this
union.
Is exciting.
Watch this.
Yeah.
All right. I think, Brian, I have to go over there. We got two brides.
You
got to
move. We got a million brides. While Richard is figuring that
we'll
out.
We'll do it live. We'll do it live.
Easy.
Peyton.
Easy, O'Reilly.
Play it out. What does that mean? Play it off.
Come
All
on.
Right. That's it for today. And now Sting will play us off.
Richard Roper as Bill O'Reilly, which is a tribute, and Great Moments in Vinyl doing a tribute to Jimi Hendrix. You like how I
what a segue?
You like how I brought that in, Lindsay?
Oh, good
what a
for
segue!
You. Now I'm doing Christian Bale. Oh, good for you,
Lindsay Cochran, Billy Schaefer, Bill Grady. They are the Jimi Hendrix Experience for the Great Moments in Vinyl show, which is happening September 11th at City Winery, 8 p.m. GreatMomentsInVinyl.com is the website. There you go, all
Brian.
Right.
May I just say I'm glad we're in a separate studio right now.
It's a little. Listen, you've done this for a long time. You understand the psychosis that goes on this side of the glass, and I think Rich kind of hit his breaking point.
I asked Ro last time I was here. You know, what's your anxiety dream? Like me, with a background in rock radio,
yes.
It's the record ending on the air, not having another
all
record
the
queued up.
In radio history. Now, why do I got to play a dead dog dedication coming out of an upbeat second?
I hear you now, whatever mic you want.
I think this one. Hello. Hello. Oh, hello.
That's the one.
All right, now. I was on, I was off. I'm
now
off, I'm
on.
I'm
now
on. Okay, Ringo, we don't need you for this session. I'm going to play the drums.
You're good.
You guys have a lot more fun online, I think.
Well, listen, this is exactly what would have happened.
I'm staying over here.
If we were on. So how did you decide on Hendrix? You've done Hendrix before. How did you decide to bring him back for the September 11th show?
I met Bill Grady.
Okay.
He and I did that Allman Brothers show with some other talented musicians. And I said, hey, what else you got in your backpack? And he said, well, Pink Floyd, Jimi Hendrix.
Wow.
Nice.
Got a couple of other ideas we've talked about. So.
So there's a legendary story, and you're going to be able, you know it, and be able to tell it better, of Hendrix playing and all the guitar gods going to see him for the first time when Clapton was in the room, and all these other guys were like, oh, here's Jimmy.
Well, there was a story, a time back in 66, I think it was, Chaz Chandler of the Animals fame decided he was done being in a band, tired of playing bass. He wanted to manage groups. And he brought Hendrix over to England and was showcasing him around, you know? I mean, this is, you remember, England at the time venerated black American musicians, blues musicians, you know? They wanted to emulate that sound and that attitude. And I don't think it's ever been explained what the appeal was, but thank God it was there because it helped invent rock and roll. But so here is Jimi Hendrix, a young black American playing a very bluesy kind of music, R&B and some rock, and Chandler brought him over to the UK and had him sit in with Cream.
Wow.
I don't know how they finagled that.
Wow.
Hendrix comes on stage playing the song Killing Floor. I don't know that blues tune really well, but it lopes along, and he went into a burning version of it. And Clapton freaked out on stage, walked off stage to his manager and said, "You didn't tell me he was that blank good."
Mm. Wow.
And it's Clapton saying
this, right?
Clapton
drops that compliment, you know.
Amazing.
What was it about Hendrix that, you know, he wasn't hitting huge here, but once he went to England, boom, things took off, and then he came back here and the rest was history.
I'm guessing it's Chandler's vision to make him a rock band, you know, because he'd been backing up people like... I don't want to say James Brown, but you know that sort of circuit. You know, he was doing a lot of R&B shows, and he was
session
the guy.
Stuff, yeah.
Well, he was the guy in the band, you know, making the moves on stage, wearing the uniform, and
And didn't he famously Lindsay open for the Monkees at one point?
Oh my God! Yes, there's that story too.
It's amazing.
How does Jimi Hendrix get to open for the Monkees and not get to as a privilege, but get stuck, I should say, opening for the Monkees?
Because there's been a lot of stupid things done in the world of rock and roll. These things happen. I mean, there's a great, getting off topic here, but the reason Buddy Holly died, one of the reasons was that he was crisscrossing the state of Minnesota doing like 40 dates in 40 days.
Ugh.
And here's the thing. They'd book a show here and then here and then here and then here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they didn't do them in sequence.
Right.
So they were doing like 8-hour bus trips through Minnesota and during the frozen. So Buddy Holly at one point just said, "I'm going to take a plane to the next gig." That was the fateful
plan. That was it. Unbelievable. Well, let's hear another song, then we'll get some more stories. Great Moments in Vinyl is doing the Hendrix Show, the Hendrix Experience.
Do you want to hear a good Jimi Hendrix story?
Please.
Yes,
it takes
course.
A little time, but
we
got time.
It's worth the setup.
All right.
Now,
all right.
Jimi Hendrix, when he was a kid, used a broom as an air guitar. He would sit there and bang on this thing. You know, he'd play. He'd take it to school. Imagine a kid from the projects in Seattle taking a broom to school in the 60s and the grief he must have gotten. But anyway, he's doing this broom thing. He plays it at home, knocks dirt and crap from the broom on the floor, and his father gives him a tanning. Just beats him.
Yeah.
His parents are alcoholics, you see. I mean, both father and mother, and she was having an affair, and that led to them splitting up.
Mother, wow, there's a lot of stories in this one story.
Mother later dies of cirrhosis of the liver while Jimmy is still a young man, still a teenager. Father sits his two sons down, pours a shot of whiskey for each of them, says, "Take it like a man," and does not take them to the funeral.
Whoa.
A broom is drearily sweeping up the broken pieces of yesterday's life. Somewhere a queen is weeping. Somewhere a king has no wife.
All the jacks are in their boxes, and the clowns have all gone to rest. You can hear happiness swagger on down the street with his footprints dressed in red, and the wind it whispers Mary. A broom is surely sweeping of the broken pieces of yesterday's life. Somewhere a queen is weeping. Somewhere a king has no wife. And the wind here cries, Mary. Thank you. traffic lights, they turn blue tomorrow. And shine the emptiness down all on my bed. And the tiny island that once sagged on downstream feels the life that lives. And the wind, it screams Mary. Will the wind ever remember all the names it's blown in the past? With its crutch, its old age, and its wisdom, it whispers no, but this will be the last. And the wind, it cries Mary.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Thank you, sir.
Fantastic. That's Great Moments in Vinyl. Of course, their big show on September 11th at City Winery. GreatMomentsInVinyl.com. So, you know, you look at an artist like Hendrix, and granted, his catalog, not as big as some of the others because of his untimely death.
Oh, my God, he did it all in 3.5 years.
Right. So how hard is it to whittle it down and say, okay, these, you know, these are the songs we're going to do. You got to do, you know, you got to do Wind Whispers Mary. You got to do Purple Haze. Where do you then start saying, ooh, oh, this is great. How do we drop it?
That's the discipline of the show. We choose albums. So the choice is made for us. You know?
Okay.
There are many bands that do tributes in Chicago, and some of them mm-hmm. quite good at it. And we just wanted to distinguish ourselves, do something a little different. And in this case, it's we find some good albums. You know, I think of us as music fans who love albums and just want to get together with other people and say, hey, isn't this a great album? Don't you love this song? It's just about that passion and that excitement. So we choose the albums, just like when you were younger.
Yep.
You sit
right,
there,
right.
And you would actually have to track through the songs you didn't care for as much, because you weren't going to walk over to the turntable and pick up the needle every 5 minutes.
No, because then you have to move the quarter that's keeping your tone on from bouncing.
Exactly.
Too crazy. So now you're looking at this with the albums, and Are You Experienced is the one you're going to be doing there. And I just, I kind of...
And also, Axis Bold as Love.
Ah, nice. All right.
His first two albums.
Very nice. And so it just, you start and you're going and you're telling stories about the songs. For people who haven't seen you guys before, you're telling stories as you go.
Yeah, we just take a break between each song. If I've got a good story, insert it there. Sometimes if it segs on the record, we'll play the songs back to back. But most of the time, the artists have so much interesting stuff going on. That, you know, like on the Beatles' White Album, you know, there's Bungalow Bill, hey-o, and then you're right into While My Guitar Gently Weeps.
Mm, yeah.
So we kind of left that in place. But there's certain songs on that album that you just got to find out. Bungalow Bill, no, what's the one about the guy who hunts the tiger? Is that Bungalow Bill?
What did you kill?
Yeah.
Donald Trump Jr. What did you hunt, you little
that
runt?
Song. Oh my! What did that rhyme with?
I said runt.
Runt. Okay.
But we are
punt.
Know,
it's football
we're streaming.
Yeah. Like Monty Python. Okay. So that song was about a guy who was at the ashram or whatever it was, the meditation retreat the Beatles were on. Yeah. He was the son of a wealthy socialite who was studying transcendental meditation. Decided to take a break and go out and shoot some tigers. And Lennon thought, oh, my God, how incredible is that? This guy wants to kill tigers and then go commune with God. That guy, Richard something is his name, not Roper, but Richard, went on to become a wildlife photographer for National Geographic.
Oh, wow.
So I think he learned his lesson.
He felt very
chagrined by, you know, having a song about his escapades in the jungle.
Yeah, but here's the good news. John Lennon wrote a song about you. Here's the bad news. You don't come off real great.
You look like a jerk. That's not good.
The names were changed, you know. They knew about libel back then.
Mm-hmm. Are there still, do you think, Lindsay, because you've been around rock people your whole life, are the rock bands now, do they have the kind of stories that you're finding when you do these other albums with different artists?
I would say yeah, but you're already reading about them online. You know,
there's no mystery, right?
Exactly. I mean, we live in an era where there's probably no bad news. You know, it's just news, and it's publicity, whatever you do.
Yeah, and now that's I think the beauty of your shows is that people may not have heard some of these stories. Maybe they've heard a couple of them, but you know, we didn't know a lot about these artists back then. All we knew was what was on the liner notes, and maybe you'd see or hear something else. But you know, you didn't really know every personal move of Led Zeppelin. Thank goodness, until the books came out later.
Don't get me started on Led Zeppelin stories. But yeah, that's the joy of the band, is we try to bring people closer. We try to give the audience the music in a new way, in a way that connects with where you were at the time when you were hearing it, what was going on in the world. It just makes it more personal, I think.
Absolutely.
Do you have another story and song for us?
Let's just go into a song.
All right.
That's all right. I'm being lazy here.
Listen, you can't be lazy on a Friday. It's the ultimate day to be lazy.
Dude, all I got is water in this cup.
Well, that's a show. We can remedy that.
Ah!
We can remedy that if you need to.
Okay. While we're playing.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Take a pic. I like this. Tomorrow. This is why they tell
stories.
Well,
are your experience? Here's the thing, too. I think there were, 17 songs? Because Jimmy didn't mess around, you know?
If you're putting out an album, you've got to put out as many songs as you can.
Yeah. Let's do Wait Until Tomorrow.
Well, I'm standing here freezing outside your frozen garden. I got so little, lean up against your wall. Tonight's the night, we plan to run away together. Oh, come on, dolly, mate, there's no time to stall. Now you're telling me sure, it's right, so till tomorrow, good night. Darling, may, how can you hang me up this way? When on the phone you said you wanted to run up with me today. Now I'm standing here like some mix-up serenading fool, hearing strange words from the mixed up mind of you. But you keep saying wait till tomorrow. Think you better wait till tomorrow. Think you better wait till tomorrow. Gotta make sure it's right, so till tomorrow, good night. Darling, me girl, you must be insane. So unsure of yourself from your unsure window pane. Do I see a silhouette of someone pointing something from a tree? Click bang, what a hang. Your daddy just shot for me. Now I hear you say, we don't have to wait till tomorrow. We don't have to wait till tomorrow. It's right, so till tomorrow, good night. We don't have to wait till tomorrow. We don't have to wait till tomorrow. We don't have to wait till tomorrow. Won't be around, won't be around.
Lindsay Cochran, Billy Schaefer, and Bill Grady. They are great moments in vinyl. The Hendrix Experience show is September 11th at City Winery. They're going to do Are You Experienced and Axis Bold as Love. Unbelievable. Yeah, we got to, you guys got it in you to do one more. I know I didn't bring, I didn't want to interrupt you and bring you in a beverage while you were playing. But trust me, there are beverages awaiting you when you are finished, if you are so inclined. So nice. Give it.
I like radio over here. That's a great way to.
Yeah, we got to make people feel at home, especially musicians. I know your ilk. You're not stodgy. You don't want to come in and just sit.
First time we were on Rose Show, I don't know, a year ago or something like that, there was a wine tasting going on in the studios.
Yeah, well, listen, Ro, you know, he's always got something.
Can I say that on the air? Is that okay?
Well, sure, why not? It's true. Everybody else listened to it. Now, so Hendrix is this time. How long does it take you to format? You know, you guys are all experienced musicians, so learning the songs, probably not a whole lot of time. But to decide on an artist, and then if you've got somebody with a huge catalog, even bigger than Jimmy's, to decide, all right, this is the album we're going to do, or these are the albums we're going to do, how we're going to weed it down.
We just talk about it. I mean, a lot of times the show ideas come out of, like I said, we did the Allman Brothers with Bill Grady, and I was just chatting with him. What else would you like to do? I remember once we were working on a Sinead O'Connor show or something like that, and then I was sitting with a drummer, and I just went... And out of that, he started playing Walking on the Moon.
Yeah.
And suddenly we had a Police set planned.
Nice.
6 months later. So it was just... Whatever strikes our fancy. And you know, we are responsible to the club owners who are willing to book us. We want to draw a crowd. We want put butts on bar stools. And whatever kind of album is going to draw that, that's what we want to do.
And the City Winery is a fantastic venue. You guys have been there before, I'm sure.
We've played there once before. This is a return, and we're very proud to be back there again.
Yeah.
We think it's the perfect sort of venue for this kind of thing. We play at Martyrs a lot and love it there because they've kind of established us.
Sure.
We've played out at... we've played at Reggie's. We've done Wire out in Berwyn.
That's
and there's
a
museum
too.
Out in Joliet. I got to give props to them. The Joliet Area Historical Museum has had us out there for their rooftop concerts, and we've sold out a couple of times. So
very cool.
250 people, I think. So we did Led Zeppelin there. We did the Beatles' White Album. So
very
we're getting
nice.
The word out.
Yeah, greatmomentsinvinyl.com is where you can get all the information on upcoming shows. But just know that September 11th is the Jimi Hendrix Experience. That's at 8 o'clock. You can go to greatmomentsinvinyl.com, get the info, citywinery.com to get your tickets, all sorts of stuff. All right.
Let me give kudos to a drummer who will be playing the show. Billy Schaefer, GMS drums player, is with us today because our drummer for the Hendrix show is on tour tonight. So
really?
We don't have him with us, and Billy stepped in at the last minute.
Well, Billy's doing a fine job, yeoman's job in there, Billy. And I got to say, you all look the part. You are, it's phenomenal. You know, you're not some guys who are accountants and then come in and try to, I look in there and I see a guy in a poncho. Bill Grady is wearing a very fancy dressed up poncho. It's like a tuxedo poncho, not just a regular I'm going to hang around poncho.
Yeah.
So he dressed it up very nice, and Billy Schaefer there looks like a guy who should be playing drums for Hendrix. So it's all, and Lindsay, I'm not even going to get started with you. If I went to Central Casting and said I need a rocker, they would send me you, and is nothing but a high compliment.
People shout that on me. Hey, Robert Plant, that's what they say. You know? I say he looks older than me. Don't do that.
Yeah, you don't even look old enough to play this music.
God bless you.
That's what you get instead of a drink. You get a compliment. All right, we've got time for one more. If you have a story to go with it, that's cool. If you have just the song, that's cool too.
Let's go into the song. I do have the stories, but that means finding it on the laptop and queuing it up. You know, I don't waste time.
Too much. We don't need all of it.
People want to hear the music at the
right.
shows. You know?
And they want to come. And at the shows, though, you will hear the stories too. It's a beautiful blend of music and stories and everything.
Yeah.
So what do we got?
Oh. off the pieces and make an island. Might even raise a little sand. Oh, cause I'm a voodoo child, yeah. Said Lord knows I'm a voodoo child. All your sweet time, I'll give it back to you one of these days. I didn't mean to take up all your sweet time. I'll give it back to you for the rest of my days. No, I won't see you again in this world. I'll see you in the next one. Cause I'm a voodoo child, yeah. Said Lord knows I'm a voodoo child, voodoo child.
Can play great moments in vinyl. They are going to play Hendrix, Are You Experienced, and X's Bold as Love on September 11th, 8 p.m. at the City Winery. Go to greatmomentsinvinyl.com, citywinery.com to get all your tickets. Lindsey Cochran, Billy Schaefer, Bill Grady, you guys were fantastic. Thank you very much for
Thank
being
you,
here.
Brian.
This was exciting. Now we'll actually meet in the hallway. It's going to be a ton of fun. Great stuff. Go see them on September 11th, 8 p.m. Keep up with all the shows at greatmomentsinvinyl.com. Yes,
and also,
sir.
And also our Facebook page.
Great and the Moments Facebook page is Great Moments in Vinyl. So you can go do keep up with them. And if you love Hendrix, you got to go on September 11th. Guys, thanks very much for being here. Greatmomentsinvinyl.com. All right, we're done. We got to get out of here. Thanks for listening. Talk to you later. Bye.